Recorded live.
Good evening, all, and welcome back to another live Head of Household Talk Show conference call. The one rule that we have is no profanity, and the other rule that we have is no real judgment. No, you know, just try to be courteous and considerate of the other guests when they share. Tonight's topic, what my father didn't tell me about marriage. And there's a couple questions from the email. I'm just going to read a couple of them. Did you play sports growing up? Did your dad come to your games? Was he the coach of your little league team? Did he tell you about marriage? Did your dad help with the homework? Did he go to the PTA meetings? Did he go to your academic award ceremonies? Did your dad tell you about marriage? I'm going to start off with my issue because I'm actually working on marriage number two. And when I look back, I don't remember a whole lot that my dad told me about marriage. And I think that maybe if I were to have gotten some good information from him, I may have been better the first time around. But I kind of modeled after him and the things that he did, and I thought that they were acceptable. And then I found out down the road that they weren't. And sometimes as fathers, we protect our girls, but as for our sons, we egg them on to be the real man, you know, so to speak. And some of us carry those traits into marriage, and then it doesn't work out that well. But I want to open this. I want to ask one question. Is there anybody on the line that can tell a brief story of what their father actually told them about marriage that may have helped them?
I can, Tony.
You can?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, good.
I've been married, it'll be 11 years this July, and my father, my parents have been married 41 years this coming June. And my father told me absolutely nothing about marriage, so I think that's helped me.
Okay.
And I say that, you know, facetiously, but I mean, really, you know, literally, you know, I was thinking about this topic, you know, when you sent it out, and I was just like, wow, you know, my father never, you know, even, you know, on the eve of me getting married, you know, in the back of the church, you know, we in the room together, and he never says a mumbling word about, you know.
Nothing at all.
Just like, you ready? All right, cool, let's go. And, you know, to this day, you know, we've never had a quote-unquote conversation about marriage. But, you know, again, you know, I say that truthfully is that I don't know if there's anything he could have told me other than, you know, when you walk in those shoes yourself, you know, as a husband, as a father, and all that good stuff. I'm sure it was some insight he could have given me, but, you know, he didn't give me nothing, not a peep, you know, to this day, you know. And so that's my story.
But let me ask you a question. Do you think not to really get into your whole father-son thing, but do you think that that was healthy? Do you think that that's healthy now that, I mean, because I'm pretty sure a lot of us can relate to this. Because my father told me nothing about marriage, even when I got divorced. He still never came and said, well, son, if you do that again, I think you need to pay attention to X, Y, Z. Nothing. You know what I mean? Nothing.
Yeah.
Now, we give our sons a lot of advice. We help them with a lot of things. But the biggest decision that we're ever going to make in life is marriage. Where's that advice? You know what I mean? And some of them, I think they say, well, just follow what I do. You know, follow how I do it. Well, what if you're not doing it right?
Yeah.
And I'm following that. And I'm going to follow, you know, that those bad guidelines, you know, and then I'm going to end up, you know, in an unsuccessful marriage. You see what I'm saying? I just think that it's a little out of whack that we don't have those conversations.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to find out. Is there anybody that did have that conversation with their dad? And I'm not talking about, like, once you were married and you got issues and you're going back to them saying, hey, Dad, I got issues. But prior to, prior to getting married was that discussion had? Anybody? No, we don't have a lot of callers. That's why I wanted to kind of wait for some more people to get on the line.
Yeah, but I'll say, you know, back
hey,
to
I'll
question.
Jump in there right quick.
Oh, go ahead.
I had it on mute, sorry. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, prior to getting married, I don't think I had any real sit-down conversations with my father, just saying, hey, this is the rules of marriage, and this is what you need to do, and this is your responsibilities as a man. I think a lot of us guys just go with the flow, go for what we saw. And from our homes, maybe listen to some of the wrong folks instead of the right word, and go with the flow.
Yeah.
Back to your question, Tone. The you know, you asked was it healthy? You know, absolutely not. I don't think it was healthy, because you know that conversation should have been had. And granted, I mean, I think that what you're getting at is that the conversation shouldn't have been, well, maybe it should have been to actually, you know, rethink or to reconsider, you know, what, you know, we're about to do as far as, you know, going in this thing that, you know, we call marriage and how serious it is. You know, but, you know, I was reading your email and my father was there for all, you know, he was the coach of my little league, you know, teams and football, baseball, you know, basketball. So, I mean, he was always around, you know, when it came to sports, and he was always like, you know, you practice this way, you know, you need to work on your jump shot like this, you need to, you know, lift weights, you know, blase, blase. So he was there, and, you know, it was never an opportunity, I guess, in his mind, to jump in there and say, hey, you know, what do you think about marriage, son? You know, or anything like that. And I don't know if we were close enough, you know, to even have that discussion. That's another thing. You know, I'm close to my father, but I don't know if we're, you know, that close, you know, to jump into a deep discussion like that. So.
Yeah, because I was talking to Glenn not too long ago about this. And she said, well, you know, the topic should be, you know, what your father said, but, you know, about what your mom, you know, has told you about marriage. And my thoughts was that was when your mother has to tell a son about marriage, somebody has dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a man on man. Because my mom can tell me what's expected of me as a husband from a woman's perspective. But we really need to know from that true head of household guy that we looked up to, you know what I'm saying? Who was the dad? You know, now, if he wasn't around, then of course mom had to do it.
Right.
You know, or I mean, I'm talking about the dad could have rolled out or he could have been absent within the house. You know what I'm saying? And we really needed to hear that from him. But the fact that I'm hearing that fathers were present and still not having the conversation, and then we think about the 50% divorce rate. And if we sit back and say, man, if I kind of knew what I was getting into prior to getting into it, maybe I would have had a better chance.
Well,
you know what
I'm
saying? Go ahead.
What's up, fellas? This is Dave.
Hey.
I know, like, with me, you know, me and my dad, we never had, I'd say at the beginning, you know, we had that typical father-son relationship, and then, you know, I guess as I developed some sort of backbone, our relationship became a little rocky, only because of the things that I saw, things I experienced with him and my mom. But, you know, my mom was my girl, so it was like, hey, I saw that my mom wasn't being treated right. I got a little on the defensive. But I remember him telling me when he was talking about marriage, you know, he said, I married your mom, and your mom knew me before she knew you. And things you have to understand is that we had a past before y'all were even here. So if you decide to get married, you have to realize, yeah, it was more like rearing kids. You know, once you have kids, this is what you do. But he said that, you know, it isn't easy, and take your time with it. And, you know, I was the type that, you know, I've been engaged three times. And every time with a charm. But I remember through each engagement, everything that my dad told me. He said, when you get married, you have to realize you are marrying her. You're not marrying her mom. You're not marrying her cousin, her brother, her dad. You're marrying her. And I found out in the other two, I was marrying what would have married my then wife, whatever, as well as the mom. And, you know, that kind of stuck to me. And then when my dad, you know, didn't know, my dad had passed away Christmas Eve. And there was a lot of things that, you know, my mom was telling me about marriage and things that my dad did and they did. But I said, Mom, y'all been together. I think it was, we got married 1967. So, you know, roughly, you know, 42 years. And I'm like, wow. You know, and it does, you know, it doesn't seem like it was that long, but I guess it is because I'm 38. And I said, well, how did y'all make it work? Because they had time where they were separated. And she said, well, you know, your dad was his own person. I was my own person. I never tried to change him. And he didn't try to change me. And you have to look at it like that as far as marriage. You know, if you try to change your wife, she will change, but it might not be the change that you want because eventually that may force her to leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to look at that from my dad's perspective that, you know, although my mom had her fault, my mom's been the same mom for 42 years. You know, and my dad's been the same dad. 42 years. You know, if anything, they may have become a little bit mellow, but I, you know, they pretty much had the same relationship from the times I remember as a kid. You know, without the abuse and all that. But as far as, you know, just the stuff that is typical, you know, what you want to eat, I don't care, and then you do all this other stuff. But and that's something that, you know, I'm working on. You know, it's a work in progress. You know, it isn't easy. Anyone say, oh yeah, my marriage is easy. Then I question that because what's going to happen when you have an obstacle? You have to deal with some adversity.
That's right.
You're going to deal
with. That's right. That's right. Good words. But you said that y'all had the conversation.
Yeah, it wasn't like a detail, but we did have that conversation. We never had the conversation about birds and bees. My mom actually gave me that. She said, look, I don't want no babies. Let me tell you where babies come from. And that was it. I was like, wow. I don't want no babies. She said, I don't want no babies. But, you know, I kind of like learned the birds and bees on my own.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and granted, by the time most of us got married, we were adults. You know what I mean? So at that point, you know, we may be receptive to information from our fathers. We may not be. You know, who knows? But prior to that, I think, you know, your teenage age when you're dating, even they say, hey, look, get all the dating you can get in now because once you get married, you have to be committed to that one woman. You know what I mean? And then that would just set your foundation for marriage. So, you know, well, when I get in here, I got to be committed. You know what I'm saying? And because a lot in on infidelity. You know, and it's maybe because, you know, we just didn't realize, hey, I got to stop dating now. I can't have two and three and a wife or whatever the case may be. Because a lot of people, male and female, get into marriages and they still keep their side baggage or whatever the case. You know, so maybe that was something that should have been talked about.
And to be honest, it's hard because I know I was with Tony and Patrice. And I think before Patricia got there, I said, Tony, wow, it's hard once I maintain it, right? But, you know, you have to have that willpower. And, you know, you're human. At the same time, you are human, but you have to look at it from, you know, this is the path that I chose. And either I decide to walk that path or I divert from the path and she walks alone. So you have to look at it that way.
Good word. Good words. Anybody else?
How many callers we got?
We have six right now.
I would say I didn't hear too much about the whole thing about the marriage piece from my father, particularly coming from a single-parent home. You know, So I definitely didn't hear that from my dad. What I did hear, though, not just from my dad, but from everybody, aunts, uncles, coaches, ministers, teachers, and everything, was just the necessity of being a good man and the integrity that goes along with that. Because I think, when you talk to those different individuals, or rather they talk to me and imparted wisdom on me, it was more based around me just being a good man and handling responsibilities and doing the things necessary in order to make sure that, I not only led a good life for myself, but inspired the lives of others and was able to lead by example. And therefore, by doing that, it didn't matter what role I was in or what title I held, husband, professional, friend, whatever it may be, it would be okay because I would be giving my very best and I'd be doing the things that are necessary to, I guess in a sense, hold that title. So to actually talk about marriage, for my father, no. But I will say that those were the things that, we did discuss, more so with just being a man. And I think about it a little bit further because, now in my interactions with my dad, when we talk about things, I'm actually glad that we really didn't talk about it because my dad's my dad's take on marriage is not positive. I mean, it's not positive at all. And even when I talk to him now about it, it's more along the lines of he's happy for me, but the way that the tone of the conversation always goes is, you just wait for the shoe to drop. You wait for it to table to turn. You wait for it to happen to you, what happened to me, you wait for your child to get taken away from you, and you wait for this, that, and the other. It's crazy, and sometimes I have to say to him, all right, Dad, we're not going down that road tonight, because I've heard that story, a million times since, being married and really having the marriage thing to really talk about at different points with my dad. So,
and you're talking about your mother. So, like a dangerous road to go, the woman that raised you,
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm not too bent out of shape about that because, it's one of those things where, I listen to my mother and father talk about their marriage. And, I'm going to tell you, so many different conflicting stories and things like that. I'm just like, I don't even know what to believe. So I just look at it from the standpoint of that was their time together. That was before me, and that's that. Like I said, I didn't go through the divorce where I was five and they could split up. My parents got divorced 2 weeks after I was born. They had been married for 5 years before me. So it's like I didn't go through any of that. So, that's why I say that was before me, So I don't even look to try to ask questions and do all that randomness because it's not going to do anything. I'm not getting a straight answer from anybody. No stories are lining up. So I just leave it alone, But the big thing here is, what we're talking about tonight is, my dad didn't talk about any of that stuff until I got married, and it's not positive. So I'm actually glad that, we didn't really touch on it because it probably would have just, made me a little biased, maybe tainted my judgment a little bit, and I would have been a little weary,
And you may not have ever got married, truth be told, if y'all had those conversations and if he was so jaded about marriage, but... as they say, it's three sides to every story, his side, her side, and the truth. But, I ask you this is, you said they were divorced 2 weeks after you were born. So were they separated during the pregnancy? Is that where the separation happened? Or?
Yeah, I believe so. I think there's a little bit more validity to what my mother says than what my father says. So I think they were separated at that time. But it was like, if you listen to my father tell it, it was kind of like off and on through that time. But they officially got divorced 2 weeks after I was born because, my mother's got all the paperwork. And, at different points, over the years when I would have things from my father and I would ask my mom questions or whatever, my mom was, she's like, we're not going to play this. He said, she said, I'm getting facts. So I do remember seeing that paperwork with the date, and it's 2 weeks after I was born. So... there it is.
Wow.
And that's just the extent of things. But I mean, when I think about this, seriously, gentlemen, over this topic tonight, I don't really know if, when you think about the necessity of us being talked to about the whole concept of marriage, You know, I want to say it's important. I believe it's important for us to really understand marriage, but I think it's things that we get through some conversations with ministers and you know, definitely a relationship that we have. But more so, like I said, it's like, you know, I feel like being a good man and being a person of integrity and good values and morals, you can plug in any role. But as long as you're doing that well with regards to respecting yourself first and then being able to respect others, I mean, I don't really know if it's a conversation you need to have, you know, about, you know, what it takes to, you know, what marriage is like. I mean, because what are you trying to get from it? Just a glimpse of it, a better understanding. I mean, it could be something that you pick up a book and you read about it. But it's like, if you don't have those values and those skill sets that are instilled in you by someone in your life to just be a good man, it doesn't matter what role or title you take on. Somebody could have talked to you about marriage, and you can just be a crappy man. That doesn't mean that you're going to do well in that role. But I understand, for the sake of the conversation and the topic, is, you know, where we talk to about marriage from our father.
Go ahead.
I have a question. I'm saying, you know, myself being a father, and you know, I have little side conversations with my son, and I'm like, I say, you know what? This is what you got to deal with from somewhere down the road. But my question is, you know, as your son or daughter. And like I said, if it's daughter, I feel like it's the mother's place, then the father's place to come in. And with the son, I feel it's the father's place, and then the mother comes in. But my question is, you know, what do you tell your child about marriage? Or, well, let me rephrase it. I'm saying when I look at what I would tell my son, I'm not really necessarily focusing on marriage. I'm focusing on, okay, you have to, somewhere down the road, accept who you are.
Yeah.
And if the woman down the road is willing to accept who you are, or the women, because so like you may be dating, then when you get to that marriage piece, you got to say, okay, is this the one I want to be with for the rest of my life? And if you can't say yes, then you don't get married. But she also has to be willing to accept who you are from the giddy up. Not saying, you know, when you get married, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this. Time out. You know, there's certain things that you know you're not going to do. You're not going to be able to get up and go to the club whenever you want to. But if you're one that goes out with your boys, are you to cut off your boys? So when I'm talking to my son, I'm pretty much telling him that, you know, you have, well, actually, when I'm telling, I don't know if he even understands what I'm saying, but I'm saying, Daddy, I am who I am, and your mom, who she is, because sometimes they hear us arguing. I said, but at the end of the day, I still love mommy. So look at me. Okay. And, you know, what did you tell your child when they see things and they're thinking, okay, is this what marriage is about? Because I used to see that with my parents. Like, wow, I don't want to deal with that, you know. And that's the thing, you know, when you're single, like, you know what, I don't want to deal with them, I'm out. It's kind of hard to do that when you're married.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And and you make some good points. But if I had a son, I'd probably tell him the first thing is that, son, when you get married, me and your mom, we're going to go down the order of importance. Your wife is going to supersede us. You know what I'm saying? And we don't think about that as you know, we want to stay number one, but we're the parents, take care of us first, listen to us first. And then we never give the son the room to let go. Sometimes you have to let go and you have to put your wife where she is. And you know, she's supposed to be second, and then your parents, and then everybody else. Well, after God, of course, you know, and then, you know, society tells us that when you get into a relationship and a marriage, it's 50-50. I would tell my son, it's not 50-50. It's 100% you. Make sure that everything is taken care of. If she helps you out, that's a bonus, but make sure that everything as a man is taken care of. I think that sometimes we take it for granted that they watched us and they saw how we handled business. And then they probably, and then we hope that they're going to, you know what I mean, follow the way that we did it, opposed to just saying, well, these are the rules of marriage. And once you go into it right, then you'll know how to stay married. You know what I mean? We talked to about marriage maintenance and about how you're going to have arguments, how, you know, certain things are going to change. There's a lot of conversations that could go on that kind of don't go on. You know what I'm saying? So I guess some of those are some of the things that I would say if I had a son.
You know, one of the key pieces there, though, on what you said is you said these are some of the things you have to do in order to stay married. You know, that's like 25% of it. You know, I would say the other 75% of it is, you know, really, you have to be happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one thing to just stay in it, you know, but you need to be happy.
What?
I mean, because if you just end something to stay in it and just to say, I toughed it out and I made it through, I mean, at the end of your time, I mean, you're going to look back on it and be like, this was a miserable stint.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like Pledge in the Fraternity. You know what I'm saying? Where, I went through Hell Week. No,
yeah.
I'm just, you got to be happy. I think that's first and foremost. But we also want to, you know, we made that decision, and we want to keep that, you know, our goal of getting married and staying married. We want to keep that alive other than just finding ways to, you know, fail at it, I guess.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think the part of this is going to be really interesting, particularly for myself, is because there was no serious male influence on being around and seeing what a marriage looked like with two people in the household. You know, I think only time will tell how well I do with being able to raise my children and be a source of reference for them. Because essentially, I'm pulling from nothing. I mean, I'm pulling from the love that my mother gave me, and I'm pulling from the love of the extended family. Well, more so just my mother's side of the family. I mean, that's it. You know,
hey, don't forget about us.
Yeah, and I'm pulling from definitely being on this call and things. But what I'm saying is that I don't have a concrete reference point that I can actually, even if it was just they were staying and it was working out, I don't even have that. So it's going to be a true test to see how I'm able to model the way for my children and to be able to show them what this looks like. And I think that's why it's even more prevalent for me to essentially get on this call and get in the Word, because I don't have it. I don't have the answers, you know, and I don't have anything that's going to allow me to be able to really talk and talk to facts and to talk to stuff with, you know, sound reasoning. I'm going to be ad-libbing and making it up, and at a certain age, my children are going to look at me and say, Daddy, what are you talking about? and I'm not going to have anything to back it up, because it's like when I get on the call with you gentlemen, I'm able to really listen to y'all say, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in this book, this chapter, this verse. And you got something that I can, when I get off the phone, I can say, oh, okay, I heard what they said, and I got the verse and the chapter, boom, I'm going to go read it and see if they really know what they're talking about. But if I'm just making it up, you know, and trying to use cute little jingles and slogans, I mean, that's just like any fad or song that's on the radio. It's going to disappear after a while, you know, and then somebody eventually is going to grow up and be like, yeah, that was great with the jingles, but he didn't really have anything concrete. So now I got to relearn or educate myself. The re-education, as Lauryn Hill said, you know, for her CD or whatever the album was. You know, I don't want that to be the case. You know,
yeah,
so
I think the one thing about it is that you can. I mean, it can be good and bad that you don't have a quote unquote model, because you know, as we all know, getting that, you know, from your father, biological or non-biological, is really beneficial. But you know, you could really set the standard. You know. Whereas your children and your children's children can say, you know, dad or granddad, I mean, he really, you know, laid it down like this. And, you know, so, I mean, you can set the standard where, you know, like you say, you didn't have that growing up, where you can really set the bar kind of high. And, I mean, I think that's admirable, you know, to really just take that approach, you know, rather than saying, you know, rather than making excuses to say, oh, well, I didn't have a father, so, you know, it's going to be cool. Or I think, you know, striving, you know, to be that model, you know, to your children and their children, I think is really admirable.
Yeah, good words, man. And if you think about our wives and women, now here's the interesting part about it. Most of us showed up to our wedding. And when I say that, it wasn't our day. We were invited. You know what I mean? It was their day. And they'd say it. Well, you know, this is my day. It's got to be perfect. They even got that show, Bridezilla, where they're all tripping because it's got to be my day. It's got to be perfect. Forget about us. All we need to do is just be there, put the ring on the finger, kiss them, and that's it for the ceremony. You see what I'm saying? So they're being prepped from day one for mom. Think about it. Because how would you be so adamant? How would you look forward to that wedding gown and where I'm going to get married and what food we're going to eat and what flowers we're going to have and all of this stuff, you know, pertaining to that day without some, well, this is what's going to happen. And when you marry this guy, make sure he's got X, Y, Z and he can provide for you and this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. They're having that conversation. But it's some kind of way our fathers they not coming to the table with the same enthusiasm. Because marriage could be great for us. We should be looking forward to it. You know, we're going to have a whole nother person, you know, to spend the rest of our life. It should be something that's celebrated. But how come it's not? How come it's not, you know, being pumped up from our fathers? They're and maybe because our fathers, some of them have been so miserable, they're like, man, don't get married, you know, but they just don't want to say it.
Yeah, I think it's like that commercial that was on the Super Bowl. You know, it's like, I would take out the trash. You know, I would go shopping with you. And I would drive the car that I want to drive. You know, it's like our father's like, man, you know, just give me the car. Give me the ride. This other stuff, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
I know for me, like my father, I didn't have that conversation with my father prior to me getting married. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a lot of surrogate fathers. And my godfather, me and him had that conversation. And many a time, you know, here is what you want to do. And, you know, what are some qualities, you know. And I, like I said, I was fortunate that, you know, I had that conversation with my godfather. And he broke it down, you know. He was like, you know, what is it about her that you like? What does she do? Blah, blah, blah. You know, it was like I was being grilled. And, you know, my godmother, she's, you know, because I'm like son to her. So she was really on the defensive. She was like, well, look, I need to know this, I need to know that. You know, my mom didn't even ask all that. But, you know, I thank them for it because, you know, they did that with every relationship I ever had. And that's probably why I had a lot of, because if it didn't work out, I'm like, you know what, I think my godmother and my godmom was right. So she got to go, you know. So, you know, I would just let her go, bye, you know. But it wasn't the case with her. And I, you know, I owe a lot to them. Like I said, it's been nice if my father was there to give me that guidance. But, you know, it's not a bad thing if you have somebody there. And, you know, I don't know if some of you were fortunate enough to have a male figure besides your father. Or it could have been a female figure to give you a perspective on things to make sure this is what you really want to do and make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. You're not doing it because, oh, she's pregnant or... well, I think I love her. You know, as soon as you hear that thing, you know, nah, you shouldn't get married. You either love her or you don't. You know, it's like, I think I do, and you know, nah. And I know some people who got married on that same premise. Well, I think I love her, and I'm like, what? You know. So.
Yeah. You know, the shotgun wedding is... The shotgun wedding is definitely something that needs to be talked about as well, too. Because you got somebody pregnant, you know. Who knows what's going to happen after that? You know, that's not I love you. That's you're pregnant. You know, I got to do what's right. You know, and you're getting pressure from probably your side of the family and the other side of the family. So, you know, that's I don't really know what kind of advice you could get from your father if it's a shotgun wedding. You know what I mean? But I wanted to throw another question out there. Is it because of some sort of negative reaction that we may have about mom that dad doesn't really want to tell us about marriage? Because we may look at mom differently because of the issues that they're having? I mean, because let's face it, every marriage has issues. your parents' marriage, my parents' marriage, our marriages have its fair share of issues. And some of them have a lot to do with mom. You know, so would dad be protecting mom by keeping the marriage issue and what to look out for? Anybody want to reflect on that? I say keeping my keeping mom safe. Go ahead.
Mine, I don't think so. You know, I didn't see where my mom was protecting my dad and vice versa. My dad wasn't a saint. You know, he had his share of cannabis and alcohol, and my mom knew it. I knew it. My mom had, you know, her share of, you know, cursing and yelling and getting her drinking, but, you know, it wasn't to the point to where, you know, she passed out. So I don't see it. It's sort of like, you know, whatever stays in the house, whatever happens in the house stays in the house. So it wasn't like, you know, I was surprised by anything. And so, but we just didn't discuss it. And that's probably the part, like, psychologically affected me in the long run because, you know, we didn't discuss these things until after the fact. But, you know, we still discussed it. So I don't know if there's a timetable when we discuss things, but, you know, I'm fortunate that, you know, my dad, my mom, my brother, we all had, you know, a nice conversation driving back to talking about old times and laughing about it. You know, I guess it's funny now. It wasn't funny back then, but, you know, we can laugh about it and we learn from it and it actually made us closer.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, because growing up in my household, parents had a lot of drama, man. I mean, a lot. Infidelity, all that stuff, you know. My father really had to get sick in order for their relationship to get on a respectful level playing field, you know. And this is long after I left the house. Now they got a great relationship, but growing up, it was very rocky, very, very rocky. You know what I mean? So maybe his perception of marriage wasn't that great. Maybe he didn't want that for me. You know, the whole one-woman thing. I don't know. I'm just guessing. You know, I'm trying to figure out why he didn't share any of those information, any of that good information with me. But go ahead.
You think he was, you know, sort of like protecting you from marriage or that rockiness to say, you know, to kind of let you sort of, I'm sure you experienced, you know, what was going on, or you could see with your own eyes.
Oh, for sure.
And,
for sure.
I don't know if, because he could have came to you and cleaned it up to say, you know,
yeah.
Son, you know, I know me and your mom, you know, we're going through it or whatever, but it's great, you know. I mean, he could have took an attempt, he could have made an attempt to say, you know what, times, you know, it's a little rough right now, but it's worthwhile. But, you know, he could have, you know, like you said, I mean, he could have, in a way, been protecting you from going down, you know, the marriage route.
Okay.
I mean, in a way, I mean, to say, hey, I don't want my son to go through this, you know, but, I mean,
but you're right, but why not say, instead of saying that, say, this is what, well, maybe he just wasn't in tune with the things that he was doing that was making his marriage not work.
Wow.
How about that? You know what I'm saying? Maybe he just wasn't, you know, aware of what he was doing that was causing a lot of drama in the marriage. Because, of course, my father's guilty of a lot of stuff growing up. You know what I mean? And I knew that then. I definitely know it now, but I knew that then. So, you know, maybe he was in denial. That's why he couldn't come give me anything good. Because he was trying to get himself together.
Yeah, and household stress wasn't around back then.
No.
No, you know what's kind of wild about this topic is really when you think about when something is great or good, you want to tell everybody about it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you want to tell. It doesn't matter what it is. And you know what the other flip side to it is? When something's horrible, you want to tell everybody about it. But we're talking about the fact that they didn't tell us good or bad. So they told us nothing. So what is it then? It's not bad. Right. It's not good. It's just, let's just stay together?
I think it goes back to what somebody said earlier about, you know, if your dad, let's say it was horrible, if your dad, you know, you're an adult and everything, said, man, your mom is really, I mean, she is she's hard to live with. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you really is having that conversation with you, you'd be like, yo, Dad, I mean, kind of ease up. That's mom's, you know.
That's mom you talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that, you know, probably it is that, and maybe, you know, it's the whole, you know, idea of the, you know, this is adult, you know, grown folks' business. You know, the children, you don't need to be involved in this, you know, that whole concept. But, you know, I kind of think that maybe, you know, he didn't want us to see our mothers in that light. You know, we see mom, that's mom's. I mean, she can't do no wrong. But he's like, son, yes, she can, you know.
But
maybe he didn't want to see us in that light.
Hmm? But don't you think that's kind of odd, though, that it's kind of you get nothing? I mean,
nothing.
Even when, like I said earlier in this call, most of us got married when we were older, so we were of adult age to have adult conversation with our adult dads.
Absolutely.
If they were still alive.
Absolutely.
And they still told us nothing. Nothing good, nothing bad.
Zippo.
You know,
I'm trying to think of some of it. I think maybe from, I don't know if it's the generation, you know, us as a people, that we best learn by observation rather than by saying it. You know, I learned a lot by observing. So, you know, really I'm thinking, okay, Dad really doesn't have to tell me because I already saw it for myself. Now, at what age is gonna vary how I interpret it. You know?
No, I actually say it's deeper than that, D. And I say that maybe our fathers couldn't articulate it because the marriage is hard to, I mean, if somebody asked you about your marriage, you'd be like, I mean, it wouldn't be, you could tell them, but really to articulate the whole concept of marriage and, you know, the trials and tribulations and the good and the bad, and I mean, it would be hard to encapsulate. So maybe our fathers couldn't even articulate it to us, so they were just like, I'm not even going to go there because I can't even begin to explain it to my son about the ins and outs of marriage.
I just think he didn't want to. I really don't think he couldn't because he had
to
think about it. I have no problem telling a friend how marriage is. Because there's no problem telling your son. It's the problem that you didn't want to. You know, my dad could have told me. He just said, you know what, I don't have to or I don't need to because you can observe. Or right now, I'm thinking you're what, 15, 10, whatever the age is, you really don't need to know about this. Now, as you get older, you're thinking, okay, you should have already learned everything from either your friends or what you observe. You know, it's like I learned more stuff about my dad from his friends than I did from my dad.
Mm.
You know, even when my dad passed away, you know, it's some things I knew, but, you know, I was like, wow, I didn't know that. You know, it was good things. Well, some bad things, but at any rate, I'm like, wow. You know, and, you know, they have no reason to lie, but, you know, they said, you know, you have to remember these good times. So when I think about whether or not my dad couldn't, oh, yeah, my dad could, because he's been very articulate around his friends. I think it's funny.
Well, I think you can be different, you know, with you know, talking amongst your friends and versus, you know, talking to your biological child. I mean, that's a whole different conversation because you can say anything to a friend, you know, and they walk away and it's, you know, whatever they do is really, I mean, it might affect you. But, I mean, when it comes to your biological or your, you know, non-biological, I mean, your father figure having that conversation, that's a different conversation.
That's a different conversation, right? But okay. We know our kids, right?
Yeah.
We know our kids. We know their strengths and their weakness. We know when they're lazy. We know when they are non-appreciative. We know all that stuff. You got teenage daughters. Okay. Hey, I mean your son. Son, I know you're lazy. You don't like to wash dishes. You don't like to wash clothes. When you get in a marriage, these are things that you're going to have to learn to do. You know what I mean? Just simple stuff. When you get with a wife, make sure she knows how to cook because you don't know how to cook. Just simple little things. When you get in the household, you don't pay your bills. Make sure you pay your bills. You're irresponsible. You don't open your mail. Make sure you open your mail and make sure that the bills get taken care of. Think about those little things that we could, you know, that our fathers could have said to us.
Well, my dad said that, but he just didn't say that make sure you do this before you get married. He would always tell me make sure you can cook. You know, he said, make sure you can do everything that a woman can do except sew or clean. Sew and bear a child. I said, I really didn't like sewing. So my dad taught me how to cook, taught me how to take care of myself. But he didn't say, okay, do this in case you get married. It was a life skill because, and I think about it because of my dad's upbringing. My dad was raised by his grandmother, so my dad really had to do a lot of stuff for himself. So all he did was say, okay, you need to learn to do these things for yourself.
Yep.
And
again, it goes back to be, yeah.
And if you happen to get away, you know, make sure you know, but he didn't come out. My granddaddy told me that. My granddaddy was up front. He said, if your wife can't cook, she ain't no good to you. He told me straight up. And I always remember, I've never dated anybody who could not cook. If she could not cook, I did not stay with her. Or she would have to buy me something to eat, one or two. But I was going to get fed. You know, even with my wife, you know, she wasn't the greatest cook when she first started, but she was willing to learn.
Yep. Mine too.
She was willing to learn. And that's just me. You know, me may not work for anybody else, but that's something that my granddaddy told me, and it stayed with me.
So
you might think there's another part to this conversation, you know, and I know it might be early for the monkey wrench, but the question is going along the lines of, so whether you have a son or not on this call, if you had a little boy and you're married right now, would you be candid in sharing with him the experiences of being married and what that entails in the marriage? Or would you kind of try to hide him from the truth of it and save the image of his mother and all these other things, the good and the bad and the ugly? Or would you kind of do the same thing that has been done to you, or would you just sugarcoat and tell positive things? What would you or would you not share? Because that's the other key, because if it's generational, or if it's something where we're passing it on from one thing to one person to the next, then where does it stop? Because we, what's that?
Right now, man. When I was married, like my son, he sees a lot. And we try, like if me and mom are arguing, I was like, Dallas, you know, me and mommy weren't arguing, we would discuss, okay, this happens from time to time. But I don't say if you happen to get married, you should ask for this. You know, I think it's the stages. So I guess as the child is older, then there's certain talks that you have or just may come up spontaneous. You don't know. But is it something where I'm going to sit down and say, okay, let me talk to you about marriage? I can't really say that. It may happen and may not.
Well, that goes into what you were saying is that I think men, even our fathers, they've done things up to us visually. And we sat back and looked and the actual words may have not come out of their mouth, but we saw a lot of things visually. And just like you said, there may be a certain situation that you might step in and say, hey, let me tell you about why we were arguing or something like this. But the hard part about a man is men don't talk to each other. Men do things visually. So because it is visually, like for my instance, in growing up, just like you said, you see arguments. You saw somebody walking away. You know, but there's some children out here, there's some men who saw arguments between a man and a woman, and they saw a man put a hand on a woman. So they go through life thinking that that is right. So there's some things that you probably do want to take away from your father. That, hey, these are how you're supposed to respect women. But they're visual aspects that can affect whatever that conversation you had can affect that also. Because if you're saying, don't do this, but you turn around and knock your woman out, what is that child supposed to, you know, think? What is that son supposed to think about his father? If you're saying, you know, you're supposed to respect his mother, but then you find your dad at the movies with another lady, the one you're supposed to expect. So I think men see their generational gap in their generation changes when it's time for them to get married through visual. And then what do you say when a man is not in the home? That tells that the visual aspect of marriage right there is that walk away.
Mm.
Word.
So that's,
wow.
That's what men see is we're visual creatures. I mean, when we look at our woman, that woman's nice. We don't care anything about our mind at the time. We're visual creatures as men. So you might want to add that in there, Tom. Just do that out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. But also, I mean, I'm pretty sure if all of us can remember advice that we've got from our dad, right? We do remember. Like my father told me once as a young boy, he said, son, you're going to do some things wrong in your life. Just don't get caught. You know what I mean? And growing up, I was like, man, those are words to live by. You know, because I could do whatever I want as long as I don't get caught. You know what I mean? And now I look back on it, I would never tell my kids that. Never.
Now, just think of that whole conversation. Was it, did he tell you after he got caught?
I don't remember when he said it. I just remember that was advice from my old man.
I got that.
You know what I mean?
Advice, but it was after my dad got caught. You know? I got that. But it was after my dad got caught.
Okay. Have you ever forgotten that advice?
No.
And I'll tell you another one. My dad always used to tell me, son, sometimes you got to pay for your learning. You know, talk about, you know, the expense. And, you know, that's a life lesson. Because sometimes,
life
like,
lesson.
Man, you make some mistakes financially. It's like, wow, ouch, that hurt. You know, I won't do that again. And, you know, it really kind of cuts deep. But, you know, like you said, Tone, is that it's some moments, you know, some life lessons, some words of wisdom that they can share and have shared. But when it comes to the marriage area, nah, they don't want to touch that.
Well,
nothing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, because when it comes to the marriage area, I mean, when I was buying my first house, I did a dollar spike because my dad was telling me not to buy the first house. Not that he didn't want me to have a house. He knew more about it than I did, but it was like, all right, well, because we're guys, we're going to do it our way anyway, so it's a lesson learned. He did put it out there saying, hey, you know, as your father, I would recommend that you don't do it this way because. And I said, oh, no, this is great. All the paperwork is ready to go. All I got to do is this. So I was seeing the little picture. He was looking at the big picture. But the older us as young men get, the more focused we get on ourselves and not on the bigger picture. And sometimes and those words come back now to me. Like, I remember exactly what he said. And why didn't I follow that? I probably wouldn't be where I am right now. However, sometimes we hear things from our father, but we let it go throughout the ear because, you know, we're young men. We're trying to do things our own way.
Yeah,
we're sick of getting direction from somebody else.
I'll speak to that, P-Town, is that also, I know, I speak about my father. That guy would give you advice on anything under the sun. I mean, he knows how to build stuff, you know, talk about buying a house. He's like, make sure you do this. I mean, you ain't even got to ask him to give advice. I mean, he's just going to pop in and say, yeah, you know, have you checked on this? Have you looked into that? Have you measured this? Have you cut it this way? Have you bought this tool? You know, so, I mean, it's anything, whether it be cars, I mean, he'll offer his advice or he'll say, you know what, that's not my area of expertise, but you can call, you know, John, you know, my man John, he'll get it straight. So, I mean, but when it comes to marriage, I mean, no, nothing, you know. And it's like, no, you know, that's not something, that's an area of expertise, nor, you know, if it was, would he be willing to be so, you know, open and sharing with it? So I don't know if anybody had that experience with me.
Let me tell you a story real quick. When I was going through my divorce with my first wife, and I had already started somewhat dealing with my wife now, I had taken my daughter to meet her daughter. Now, this divorce was done. We were just waiting for our 12 months to go so we can go to the court. It was in that time. And then I get a call from my dad, right? And he's like, I heard that you had your daughter over this new woman's house. Right? Now, think, this is the dude that never said to me anything about marriage. Nothing, dude. Nothing.
You know what I mean? You knew we were having issues because I would call, look, I'm having marriage problems, this, that, and the other. No advice for me. Well, do the best you can. Hope you get through it. That's what I would get from him. And now all of a sudden, you want to grill me on who I'm spending my time with. You know, I'm like, man, where were you before all this happened? Maybe you could have given me some good wisdom that would, you know, kept me out of this mud hole I'm getting ready to dig myself into. You know, this whole divorce thing. You know, and that's when he wanted to step in, when it was all over with. And what are you doing now? You know what I mean? So, yes, he did try to give some advice, but it really wasn't advice. He was just actually being nosy at that point, you know. But I was expecting many moons ago for my father to step in and say, okay, you have a marriage problem. Let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do. Let me show you what worked for me. If you need me, call me. But he had nothing for me. Nothing.
How did you respond to that? Like when he said that, I mean, what was your reaction? What did you tell him?
First of all, I said, the information that you got was wrong. We weren't at her house. We was at Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, not Chuck E. Cheese. We was at Dave and Buster's. First of all. You know what I mean? And second of all, I'm grown. Now, it's a little too late to be asking me what I'm doing.
There it is, though.
But, it's a little too late for that.
Just answer your second question, your own question. I'm grown.
But did you say that when
you first got married? Did you tell him you were grown when you first got married?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see.
You tell a man you're grown, you know, it's quick for a man to say, all right, I'm out. You don't need love.
But we're not talking about that. We're not talking about after we grown. We're talking about your son's age. We're talking about high school. We're talking about when mom starts talking to their daughters about that big day. We're talking about that time. That's when I want to know what I'm getting ready to get into. Because maybe, guess what? Maybe I wouldn't have married her. Because just like Peyton said, you know what I mean? You got to be happy. I wasn't happy, and I had already had children with her, so I was trying not to get married anyway because I knew it wasn't going to work.
Well, I don't know. Marriage, you know, there's that visual thing, again, when you're talking about young kids because they can only understand what they see.
Yep.
When you get to where you said high school, he's a man.
Yep.
And when he's his son, handling his, you know, trying to soak his Roy Oak. My dad brought home. He's a doctor, so he brought on a bag full of condoms. Don't bring no babies in my house. You know, that was conversation. Handle your business.
Handle your business.
So that was the extent of the conversation.
Yeah, he said, watch who you do, and don't bring no babies in the house. Don't get in no fights over no girls. That was the three things.
But nothing about marriage.
Nothing about marriage.
Nothing
college,
about marriage.
College.
Mm-hmm. A lot about college, yeah, because they're gonna foot that bill for a minute, so they're gonna talk to you about college because they want to make sure that you don't waste that money.
That's right. He said, "I'm footing this bill. I need them papers and them grades right. You know, don't get caught up. Don't get your nose wide open." Which ended up happening, but.
Okay,
you know,
so when. Okay, so.
Those were the conversations you had when I was growing up. Before, and then when I said, when my nose was wide open, and I came home and said, hey, man, I just got engaged, she said, huh. That was just saying, huh.
Nothing else, huh?
And then you know, a little bit later, he said, you sure you ready for this?
You say, yeah.
I said, yeah.
So I'm grown.
Okay. Now listen.
I'm grown. He said,
pump
okay.
the brakes 2 seconds. Pump the brakes just 2 seconds on this.
All right.
You sure you ready for this?
That's a statement right there.
Right? Listen. Hey, check it out. Are you sure you're ready for this?
That's a question.
Ready what? Ready for what, Dad? What am I getting myself into?
The abyss.
The abyss. Thank you. Thank you, Dad, for telling me what I'm getting myself into. You just asked me if I'm ready for it. What do you mean? My question is, what do you mean am I ready for it? That's like, okay.
I said, man, I got it. I got it under control. I'm grown.
Yeah. That's like your first time flying a plane, flying in a plane. And your dad says, are you ready for it? Now, you can ready to go to Hawaii on a great vacation. All you know is that's how you're supposed to get there by plane. And then your father says, are you sure you want to get on a plane? You mean, what do you mean am I sure? You make it sound like there's something I should be concerned about.
And then they come over to Intercom and say, we're closing the front door now. Bloop.
But you know what my response was? That I'm going to do different than what you have. And he said, okay. That was my response. I'm grown because I'm going to do things totally opposite of what you did.
Yeah, you would have just kicked all the advice out the window then. That
yeah, because you would have really brought him in close and be like, have a seat, boy.
You just like, hey, you know.
It goes back, but the seriousness of it is it goes back to, at that time, I knew what my dad was doing.
Mm.
I knew my dad had turned into a Rolling Stone.
Mm.
If you know that song. You know,
yeah.
Papa with the Rolling Stone. You know, so I knew how it was my mom did. In my mind, I'm saying, I don't know why you're doing it this way, but I'm not going to handle my marriage this way. Not knowing the inner line of how once you had that ring on, how they all open. You know, and you know, all of a sudden you move to a different area and you see things you haven't seen before. And at the workplace they own.
Yeah, but
you
let
know,
me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Is your marriage or was your marriage almost like to prove something to him in some ways?
I think it was.
Explain that.
Because I told him in his face that I'm proving to you that marriage can work and that you can be with one person and you don't have to be a Rolling Stone.
Wow.
I don't know where that came out of, but that's the hardest thing I ever done in my life. And that's an ongoing progress. That is a work in progress. Because I didn't know how much work it detailed at that moment in time, at the age of 24. I didn't know how much work I had to put in. I just assumed, but we're kicking it now. We're loving each other. We're going to grow together. We're going to make some mistakes, but we're going to grow together. I know how to say no. However, you know, what ends up happening? You know, you still have your old friends that some are single, some are male, and you're still trying to do things with your friends, what we talked about, I think, a few weeks ago, where you're trying to, you really don't have your lady first because you're out of school now. You're still trying to have that party time in there. And you're trying to hang out with your wife 1 minute and hang out with your boys the next, and you're trying to balance this stuff out. That's the problem that I should have gone and asked. But my arrogance at that time, my ego, as a young man saying, hey, I'm grown, didn't allow me to do that, which made it difficult in my marriage, I have to say. Did I start going to him throughout the marriage and ask for advice? Yes. Did I get some of the answers I was asking for? Yes. But you're right. I mean, when he said, are you sure, my question should have been, what am I getting myself into?
Wow.
It's happened.
Wow.
So is it on us? Is it partly on us, fellas? You know, once we get, you know, close to engagement or after engagement, to say, yo, pops, let's have that conversation, brother. Tell me, You know, I mean, is it partly on us to open that door?
Yeah.
We can say that now, but for me, I think for anybody who's been married, it's a new point now because, you know, we've passed that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. When you're engaged, before you walk down the aisle, say, yo,
when you're engaged,
you know, yeah, I got that.
Even
ring, you know, we got a date set. Let me holler at you. We need to talk. We need to holler.
I'm saying before you go,
when you're engaged, if you go to ask like a black father or any father, I'm not even gonna say put a raise on. You ask any father at that point, they're gonna be like, it's a little late for that now, ain't it?
Yeah,
you know, you've already made your decision, and that's kind of where they're gonna leave it.
You already made your decision.
No, it's never too late. You know, I mean, because I mean, engagement. How many engagements you know that's been broke off? Plenty.
Yeah, but I don't think any of our fathers would want to be the reason that an engagement got broke off is from something that they told him. Obviously, you felt it with you in your heart, your being to ask this person to spend the rest of their life with you and to put that out on the table. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to come out, even though they may want to tell you, if you've already got that ball moving in the right direction, it's kind of like driving a $100 million car and then pulling the parking brake up. I mean, you're trying to rip everything out of it.
The fact that you're going to your father, you're thinking, okay, if you're going to your father, then there's some doubt. That's the way I would look at it, that you have some doubt. You know, unless he's been the sole figure in your life, which is rare. It's unfortunate, but it's rare that you're going to find someone whose father's been the sole figure in their life, not the mother, just the father. So,
but, fellas, wouldn't you go to him? You know, I got to ask this. Wouldn't you go to him expecting him to give you the real deal, not to say, oh, yeah, good luck to you.
No, because you know what you're going to end up saying? You know what you're going to end up saying? Why are you on her side? You supposed to be my dad. Why are you on her side?
Now, I think if I had the opportunity to do it, because, like I said, I knew my mom and dad's anniversary was coming up, and if I had the opportunity to do it, I'm going to ask my mom. I'm going to see her Friday, you know. How did you make it last this long? You know, I'd be curious. And, you know, I'm not going to know what that answer would be for my dad, but, you know, if I had an opportunity to ask him that, I would ask him that. I said, what made you stay? What made you come back? You know, because he's with her, and then they split. But then you came back. So why did you come back? You know, so there had to be something in there.
Let me say this, that first of all, you have to know your father. So, you know, if he's just as crazy as he want to be in terms of marriage or relationship, then he's probably not the one to ask, even if he is your father.
Yeah.
You know, cause he'll definitely turn you off from him. But I'll give you a quick story on my dad, not necessarily in marriage, but it does indirectly play the role in me asking advice for marriage. So I had a son early on. And you know, when his mother was pregnant with him, you know, finally I had to go and tell my dad. I had to tell him anyway because he's gonna find out. So I figured I'd make it less painful. Tell him now, and then at the same time ask for some advice. And so I said, yeah, you know, such and such is pregnant, and you know, so you know, we're gonna be having a baby or have you. And I'm at a fairly young age at that time, so he says. He looks at me and he says, and we were living here in Maryland, and we used to live in Pennsylvania, which he still had a house. My mom was still living there. He'd go back and forth on the weekend. So he said he was retiring. He says, I'm retiring. I'm going back to Pennsylvania. You can't come. Take care of your kid. And that was my advice for taking care of the kid. Now, do I love my dad? Absolutely. Do I think that was the best advice? Not at the time. But as I grow older or whatever, I can look back and say, well, you know what? I really didn't have to go to him and ask him what to do because he's shown me his whole life, or my whole life, I should say. He showed me how to take care of his responsibility. He had 7 kids, took care of all of them, and him and my mom been married. This is their 55th year, I believe, and being married. So, you know, he's kind of shown me his whole life. So he didn't have to say a lot, although at that point it was a sore spot with me. I'm like, okay, that's it? You know, I got a little half-a-paying job, and you telling me, make it however you can make it, and make sure you take care of this boy, if nothing else, and now I'm stuck. So when it came time, years later, for me to actually
get married and me to introduce him to who I believe was going, which was my future wife. And I told him, and I didn't expect anything. I didn't ask any questions because I felt I was kind of dumped on when I told him that I had a baby on the way and asked his advice. So I didn't want to get dumped on again. So I was like, yeah, well, I'm getting married, and that's kind of it. You know, hopefully you can make it. That's kind of how I left it. I'm not asking for no advice. I don't want to be hurt again and be dumped on. So, and some brothers might have had that same kind of experience with your dad or whatever. You know, that first rejection or dumping or whatever you want to call it can scar you to say, okay, well, you know what? I'm not going to ask that advice. I'm just going to let you know what I'm doing and leave it at that.
Wow.
Yeah, but another point, just tying on to that statement, is that another thing that happens in marriage where we could go to dad and get some advice is, you know, when we start to have children. We could literally look back, you know, we could, you know, it could be a moment where dad could look at us and be like, are you sure you're ready for this? You know, it could be some conversation that can be had around, you know, having children as well. That could help.
Okay. Like, go ahead with an example if you got one.
Well, I'll say that, you know, my father, you know, never changed diapers. So growing up, I always knew that from what they told me. So, you know, I got in my marriage, and I was like, I'm not changing diapers either. But unbeknownst to me.
How long that last?
Exactly. I think I've just changed my 8,434th diaper tonight. But, I mean, literally, I've changed a lot of diapers. But I was going into it, I was like, you know, I thought that was an arrangement that they had worked out, but it was something that he thought up. And, you know, never really, my mom just accepted it, I guess. But, you know, literally.
That's a different time, right?
Yeah, that's a different time, though. I mean, roles were completely different. You know, that whole 50-50 thing was not even in existence.
And that might be a good question, Tone.
Yeah.
Roles from the, you know, your father's time from that, you know, and it's totally different.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because how could our father, growing up in his time, you know, it's a different time, as we say. I mean, he couldn't give much advice. I mean, or he could, but, I mean, it'll be a lot different, you know, as we say, because, I mean, your mother may not have worked, you know, where our wives work.
We got some feedback. I think I found it. If you're being muted, I think that might be your line. Just check it out. Some feedback.
Yeah, I think it is that line, yeah.
It's that line, yeah. I don't want to cut anybody off because they might want to talk. They might want to hang up and dial right back.
It must be me. I think my battery's going dead.
Nah.
I was muted. You know, I'm muted.
You're muted now?
No, I'm muted now, but I think my Bluetooth battery's probably going dead.
Oh, yeah, you can't be on Bluetooth. That always gets static. You got to pick up the phone on that.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, it's clear.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's clear. Okay, yeah, we're good. Yeah, what was that point you were making, Rodney?
Yeah, I mean, it's different times, whereas, you know, our father could be like, well, you know, coming to us, giving us advice, you know, quote-unquote, on the marriage, he could say, you know what, you know, you got to make enough money so your wife can stay at home. Hmm? In 2010, Dad? I mean, are you serious? You know, with my mortgage, are you serious? My mortgage ain't $300 like yours was, Bob. But I mean, literally, the times have changed. So, I mean, that is a good point to say, you know, Dad may be a little bit out of touch. You know, he could give us some value, but, you know, some things he could be a little out of touch. And maybe that's why he was like, you know what? You know, I ain't even touching that. You know, let Rodney figure out that out for himself.
Yeah, but okay. Listen. That's right. That makes sense. But we talked about tonight how Dad did not say jack. You know what I'm talk about economics, none of that in the marriage. Nothing.
Right. Nothing. Right.
Babies, sex changing, none of that in the marriage.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But we had to get out there and figure it out. And some of us fell flat on our face. And had to try it over, and had to try it over, and had to try it over until we got it. You see what I'm saying? And it's like going to college. And here's a monkey wrench. Dad says, okay, I'm going to pay for your college. We've been saving up whatever this college fund so you can go to college. Because that's what they did back then. They put money aside for you to go to college. Then you go to college, right?
Right.
You get out, you make a great job. Let's just say six-figure income, whatever the case may be. So they're telling you about your classes, how your class is going, and make sure you don't get too wasted and party too much and blah, blah. They're giving you those speeches on a monthly basis. So then you graduate, okay? Still nothing about marriage. Then you get into a marriage, no conversation with your dad, my marriage, whatever the case may be, and it don't work out. You get divorced. Now, we're not blaming that on dad, but check this out. You get divorced. Then the judge says half goes to this wife.
Now,
all that time, all that money he spent investing on you and your future, and now you got to give half to this wife.
Mm-hmm.
When all he could have said was, these are the things that we need to talk about for you to look out for you to, you know, be prepared for a marriage. How did college get more important than marriage?
Because that was the first step. That grooming step. If you got a good job, you can take care of your family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though you're 18 years old, it's still my job to protect you away from these streets.
Listen to what you're saying, man. It's my job to protect you. Don't we need protection in a marriage?
but you know, but when you look at it, the thing about it is that
somebody's looking long.
Whether you get married or not, that's up in the air. But you will need a job and you will need an education.
Yeah.
So of course, your parents are going to send it along that way because you know what? I'm going to invest in your education because you may be a bachelor the rest of your life. You may decide never to get married. That just could be it. But you know what? You're going to be educated. You're going to definitely make sure that you have an opportunity to provide for yourself and live the life that you would want to live and definitely do better than me.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean getting married and doing all that stuff. That might be a perk. I mean, if you decide to get married, great. You know, and I think that's maybe sometimes why, you know, the conversation may not come up is because, I mean, and I'm saying I thought about it over the course of the night. Another reason, too, why probably, you know, our fathers aren't talking to us about marriage, you know, when we're young boys and things like that, or young men, middle school, high school, maybe even college as we grow up, is because also, you know how it is when you're coming up, you're a young boy, you get your first piece or something like that, you're ready to marry somebody. If they talk to you about it, you might just do something that time. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, I mean, if you might just run out there and say, you know what? I love this girl. I really love this girl, and they have told me that you marry somebody that you love and you want to spend your rest of your life with, and they might even gone as far as you consummated this relationship, and you've done this, that, and the other, and you've done that at 16, or however old it was the first time you were married. You're the idiot that goes out there and gets married.
Oh, man. Young
okay,
person
okay.
Married.
Mm. Okay, well, listen now. I honestly believe that if your parents are married, or, I mean, whatever the case may be, have been married, whatever, they are not going to invest. Now, they want you to be able to take care of yourself after school or whatever the case may be. But the initial investment, I would think, is in family, especially if you're a dude, your father wants to keep the family name going. And you know, so there's a lot at stake. There's a lot riding on you getting out having a family. They may want grandkids. I don't think there's a lot riding on you getting out being a player for the rest of your life, being an old man at the club. I don't think anybody wants to invest in that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think anybody wants to invest in that. They want to invest in the family, because they have the family values. So in saying that, the ultimate goal would be marriage for one's parents.
Yes.
So why not talk about it?
Well, I think, you know, and from what you just said, ultimate goal would be that for one parent. More than likely, that would, you know, your mother would talk to you about that. But then your mother would, in her mind, be thinking that's a conversation that needs to be happening with a son and a father. So she's waiting on your father to have that conversation. And then they realize at some point down the line, you had the conversation with him? No, well, I thought we, oh, nobody talked to him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that honestly, when you think about it, well, what we talked about earlier in this call is young girls are brought up with thinking about that day and that point and all these things. So if anybody's going to talk to you about it, it's going to be your mother. Mother will be like, have you meeting any nice girls? Is there anybody out there you're thinking about being in a relationship with? Is she treating you good? Can she cook? You thinking that you maybe want to marry her? Is she going to be the one? Am I going to get some grandbabies? That's your mother. But the thing about it is that it, that whole concept of talking about marriage, she's probably going to say, well, you know, that's a conversation for you and your dad or you and your father. Because I give you a good example. Even though my father was not really there, there were some times that I would come to my mom with things and she'd be like, you need to talk to your father about that one. And you know what? And it was crazy because she would, you know, she'd be like, I'm going to wait, you know, and she said to me, you know, there were some times that I would give him a call and I'd say, yeah, you need to, next time you get together with Pete, y'all need to touch on this, or you need to bring something up, or whatever, you know. Or she would position my uncles, or you know, coaches, or somebody to bring it up somewhere. But it's like it's the type of thing that I don't necessarily know. As your mom, they would feel comfortable just coming up and saying, "I'm gonna talk to you about marriage."
Yeah, well, maybe you stumbled on something and that you said, and maybe your father doesn't want you to give up your player card, so. By him grabbing you at 15 or 20 and saying, hey, you know, you need to settle down. Is there any young ladies that you're interested in? Maybe in the back of his mind, he's like, yeah, you know, keep your player card, you know, like what my man said, you know, don't do it, you know. You know, I mean, maybe he doesn't want you to, you know, until you're ready. I guess he doesn't want to be contributory to you walking down the aisle until, you know, he knows that he didn't have anything to do with that, you know, so, or, you know, giving up the ghost, you know, too early or whatever. So, I don't know. Maybe that could be a little bit into it as well.
Yeah.
Because he may have been, you know, in a marriage, you know, as our fathers, you know, older. So, I mean, I know my father got married. I think they were 18, you know. So, I mean, he's like, man, whew, that's pretty early, you know, to be getting married.
When did you get married again, Rodney?
21.
Yeah, that's kind of close.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a close second.
That is.
I'm just saying, y'all might not have had the conversation, but you paid attention.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You
yeah.
see what I'm saying? They do have effect on us, man. But
yeah.
Let's just talk about it. Dad, tell me something. I'm about to go get on this airplane. Why shouldn't I do it? Or, you know, or what am I supposed to look for? You know, I'm about to go to Cancun. Tell me what's over there.
Yeah, but
you know,
let me say this, is that maybe, I mean, with this thing called marriage, I think it goes back to the point I made in the first hour, is that you really can't explain it. I mean, you can, but you really can't. Unless you're in it, unless you fly on an airplane, you can't explain it to somebody who's never flown on an airplane or who's never seen the beautiful waters of the Bahamas or Bermuda or whatever the case may be. You can't. I mean, somebody would have to just go through that and do it and experience it for themselves.
No, man. No. Listen, Rodney, when you get on the plane and if it starts to shake, that's just turbulence. Don't worry about it. You're going to hit air pockets. That's what it does. You get a little queasy, you know what I mean? Grab a bag because you may want to throw up. Your turbulence comes. When you're getting ready to land, put some gum in your mouth. Start chewing some gum because your ears are going to start popping. These are things that you tell people that's never flown. Think about it. You can talk a person through. You see somebody with a box cutter, they're probably a terrorist. You know. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
You know?
Yeah. And it's going to gonna be some turbulence. So yeah, you're right. The put somebody on a plane and for the first time, and the plane starts shaking. No, it's not going down. That's just turbulence. You know, because they wouldn't know otherwise, right? I mean, the first time y'all felt turbulence, like, wait a minute now. Is that turbulent? Oh, okay, I'm good. You know,
okay.
I mean, go ahead.
Flip it to marriage. Now flip that to marriage.
Yeah.
When you get in marriage, it's going to be a little rocky, maybe a little turbulent. Don't worry about it. It's just turbulence. Hang in there. Don't run out the door.
Yeah.
That's marriage advice, man.
Yeah. Don't run for the exit.
Don't run for the exit. You know? Don't run for the stewardess. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. That's good. They'll get that tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm just saying, man, that there's vital information that we have that we know, especially now, that we can share with our kids. And I just think that, you know, it's fair to them that they know what they're getting into. Because, again, I didn't know. I had no clue. I didn't know if I was doing the right thing or the wrong thing. I had no clue. It was just, okay, this thing called marriage, my father did it, my mom did it, so I guess now it's my turn, you know, and let me go do it. And then, like I said, the first one, you know, I wasn't schooled properly. I can't blame that on anybody, but I just wasn't schooled properly. I didn't know what my roles were. I didn't know I was supposed to take my family to church. I didn't know any of these things. I said, okay, well, you know, she's fine. We got some kids. Let's just, you know, keep it moving. Matter of fact, I had kids before I got married. And then I got pressure all over the place talking about, you need to marry this woman. You need to marry this woman. I'm like, okay, you know, and I avoided it as long as I could because the pit of my stomach said, this might not be the one. My father never said, if you don't feel right about it, don't do it. He was like, all right, let me get my suit ready. I'll be there. You know? So. But anyway, that's just my story.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
But I got a question. But you never asked that question to your father. So was he supposed to automatically know what you were thinking?
I didn't ask him what question.
You didn't ask him that question. Is this right? Because a man ain't going to answer if you don't ask him a question.
Okay, so.
That you're all right.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true. Because remember earlier, Rodney said that, you know, his father would give him advice on things even when he wasn't even asking for it. So in this situation, what we're talking about with marriage is, I might not be asking for it, but why are you not giving it to me? You give me everything else.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
Why not put that out there too?
Yeah. When I mess up, you want to give me advice?
It might not even be advice, but you could maybe throw a couple statements out there about, you know, things that could come about.
Like, you sure you ready for this?
Yeah, you know,
right there.
You know,
that's a loaded question.
You know what I'm saying? I'm about to get on 95 and head up that way. Well, you know, they got a snowstorm coming. I mean, you got a little bit of something. It's no advice, but at least you told me something. You didn't tell me not to drive or be safe. You just said, well, you know they got a snowstorm coming back. They already been hit with 30-some-odd inches, so. You know, but at least something was said, and you getting nothing about 95.
Nothing. Zilch. I don't even have a bag of chicken. Nothing. You know, at least you got some chicken. If you break down, you can eat some chicken. You don't even have that. You didn't even pack for that.
You're right.
I mean, you know, again, I'll ask the question again. You know, Derek answered it earlier, but, you know, do we have a lot to talk about in reference to the advice that we got from our father prior to us getting married?
Yeah, I think Peyton actually answered the question for us all in the first hour as well, because, you know, we talked about college and, you know, when our parents, you know, save up, they're investing in us, you know, to get out on our own. And I think that he put it best when he said, if you invest in that boy to become a man, you know, build character, integrity, you know, all that stuff, you can put that boy, that man, into the husband role and they'll be fine. I think it's just it's an added bonus when we get the conversation from Pops. But if we see Pops, you know, holding down two or three jobs, you know, taking care of all the kids, you know, just doing everything that he's supposed to do from a visual standpoint, because we are visual learners, and, you know, it's like when Pops showed us how to change the oil or to change the tire, it was no manuals that we read. I mean, he was just like, all right, grab that, you know, give me the lug wrench, you know, put this on. I mean, it's like you're actually doing it. So, you know, in his own way, he was like, I did tell you everything you need to know. Weren't you watching? Weren't you paying attention? So, I mean, in his case, he may not say, I mean, he's just like, I invested in you as a young man, and hopefully to grow as an adult. So what do we need to have a conversation for?
I think that's kind of how my dad was or is.
Well, there's a biblical answer for that, and it's probably around that time. So we all get prepared to be good people, and we have those values and morals and all that stuff. Great. And we may be a good husband because of that. We may not be. Well, let me throw this question out. Do all good people go to heaven?
No.
And you know why I asked that question, right? Because there's certain things that we need to know in marriage that will make us better. There's certain rules that we have to follow. And we know they are. Because we talk about them, but there's certain rules that we have to follow. And we can be good people all day long. But if we don't follow those principles, what's going to happen? We're liable to do anything. I mean, right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So is that enough? Okay, I raised you right. You should be a good husband.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. Is that really enough? We still got to have a conversation. These are the things we have to look out for. These are the things, these are the guidelines in marriage. Son, I know I wasn't as faithful as I should have been to your mom. But this is, don't do, you know what I mean, don't do like me, because that was all wrong. This is what, you know, marriage is supposed to be. My father cheated, never told me not to cheat. So when I did it, I was like, well, you know, I got a trump card. I got a, you know, I'm good. I know one person ain't going to get mad at me. That's dad.
Wow.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And one thing you said is that he never told you not to do it. That's powerful.
Wow.
He never said, you know what, and he never said, you know, I made a mistake or anything like that. He just kind of went along to get along.
No. And I snitched on him. I ratted him out. Because he didn't tell me not to rat him out either. How about that?
Wow.
He didn't even say, yo, it's our secret. I ratted him out. I was like, yeah, Mom, I'm in the car with Dad and this other chick.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Man.
You know what I mean? About marriage.
Look, I was young, man. I was a young kid. I didn't know nothing about being a player. I was like, man, you know, I know it didn't seem right. She wasn't you. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes it backfired on him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because he could have pulled you aside and said, yo, son, you know.
This would be our secret.
Yeah.
Our secret. And that would have really ruined me. Because then I said, oh, now I can do it. And I just know I just keep it to myself.
Right.
You don't even be honest with it, you know. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, we can make excuses for him, but, you know, going forward, I, you know, just my opinion, from my experience, he could have told me something, anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Right, and the lesson in that, I guess, is that, you know, as we're raising our kids, obviously we reflect on that, and when we find ourselves doing things subconsciously even, and not giving our kids enough information, something should snap back in. Our experience should snap back in and put us back in perspective and say, you know what, no, I can't let them go out like that. I need to tell them about finances. I need to get them more engaged about. I mean, I take my daughters out not often, but probably not often enough, but on dates and saying, and as a matter of fact, last weekend, me and my oldest went out on a date, and I took her out, and I said, see, and I took her out to a nice restaurant, and I said, you see, you don't do this, because she picked up the bill, went to go grab the bill. I said, no. God's taking you out on a date. If he can't pay that bill, then he definitely can't afford you. not saying she has a price on it, but you know, on her. But you know, if he ain't willing to pick up that tab, I said, you go to some restaurants. And I told her, I said, no, those restaurants are exclusive for just your mom. So I'm not taking you to those restaurants. But you go to some restaurants, I said, you know, they have the two different menus. One has no prices on it, one has prices. And they'll automatically give the one the prices to the man, not asking any questions. She could be the one with the money, but that's automatically what they do. And you go to most restaurants, no, regardless on what star they are, you go to any restaurant, and they'll usually put the bill with the man.
Yep.
Because that's just proper protocol. And, you know, she's like, oh, yeah, no, no one's taking me anywhere. We go to McDonald's and Burger King and things like that. She's 20, she'll be 21 next month. And, you know, she starts to say, I'm not saying put a money tag on the man either, and saying just because he can afford a five-star restaurant that you should fool with him outside of there. But, you know, you gotta decipher your own, the man, because you also got to see the potential in that man as well. So you don't want to just disregard him because he can't afford it. But there's certain things that you ought to expect. Like you said, in terms of flying, riding on a plane or something like that, there's certain things obviously they can't understand, but then there's other just simple practical things that you have to give them, that you can give them, that you know they can grab hold of and know what to do, chewing gum or something like that on the scent, whatever the case is. So you know, I show her opening the door for her on the car, and just certain things that if the man's not willing to do all this type of things, then this ain't the man for you. He's not the right one for you.
Hey, Rodney, do you find that, you know, when you take your wife out in comparison to your daughter, do you find that you do more of, you know, like the chivalry, you know, do you do more of that with your daughter than your wife, like opening the door and all that good stuff? I know
you know
pick
what?
Up the bill, but, you know.
Yeah, sometimes I don't even want to pick up the bill, but no, I'm kidding. you're absolutely right. I have to catch myself sometimes when I'm out with my wife, whether I'm with the kids, we're all together or not, but especially if we're with the kids, that I have to catch myself because I know what I'm telling them. And I need to show that. And so every now and then I have to catch myself maybe running at the door or picking up the tab ain't a big deal. First of all, you know, we got the same bank account. But she never takes her purse or cards anywhere when we go because she likes to give the same impression to the kids too.
Right,
so she,
right.
You make sure that I, you know, I always use my money, so to speak. So they see that. That the man is always taking care of this, that, and the other, pulling the car around, dropping them off in the front and going to park or do that at Walmart. I do that, you know, kind of wherever, just so that they can see certain things and not accept, not tolerate, because that's what a lot of people do get into marriage. They tolerate and or accept certain things and then later on they find out, you know what, this ain't as easy to accept as I thought it was going to be. It ain't going to work, and that's where the irreconcilable differences come into play because they can't categorize it in front of a judge, so they have to call it something.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do. I do find myself more often because I'm more conscious of what's going on, and it's a bad thing to say, but it's the truth that, you know, you get it. Once you're in that marriage, after a certain amount of time, whatever, you know, you start getting a little lazy with it.
Yep.
And but when I'm out with my daughter, because it's not that often, and I'm more conscious of what's going on and making sure I'm already thinking it through the whole day, certain things I need to do, if it's the movies and popcorn I got to go get and anything else she wants, soda. So I said, the man, she said, well, what if he can't afford all that? I said, well, then he shouldn't have brought you out.
Y'all,
you don't take me out on no date and tell me what we, you know, what you know, you got $5 to budget between the both of us, and this is where we need to go. No, if he's asking you out on the date, and he's asking you where do you want to go, then he should already have the money, or don't bother asking you. Just tell him I'm taking you on a date. We're going out to the park for a picnic. He should tell you that, but don't put you on the spot and say where you want to go, because any place that you choose at that point, he should be able to afford.
Yeah, good words.
For sure, for sure. Wow.
Wow. Let me say this one more thing, that with our kids, though, we need to go that extra mile, even though some of our fathers didn't, because they didn't think about, my father didn't think about credit, and he didn't think about telling me about marriage. I mean, we joke around a lot about the marriage now. He talks about, you know, my mom, and he makes jokes about how you guys stay together so long. And he says, well, you know, we don't see each other. he sleeps in they sleep in separate rooms in half for, I don't know, maybe 30 years. But, you know, that's kind of how she's inside doing something, he outside, he got to find something to tinker with outside in the garage or something like that. You know, for 55 years they've made it through. So I don't know if he's joking or he's actually being serious with a smile on his face, but he said that's how he make it work. But I think we got to go the extra mile. We have to tell him. I have a mentor, or had a mentor, he's since passed, but in ministry, and he used to, one of his favorite phrases whenever he's telling me something, one was, well, you'll learn, son, you'll learn. But the other one was, you know what? He says, I'm going to tell you something. It cost me everything I had, but I'm going to give it to you. He says, it took me 30 years, but I'm going to give it to you in 30 seconds. And that's where we kind of have to turn around to our kids and say, you know, it was painful for me to go through all of this stuff. I don't want you to go through it. I'm going to give it to you. And he used to always say, I'll give it to you free. It cost me everything, but I'm going to give it to you for free. Now, that might have been your whole, you know, relationship, a previous marriage, or, you know, your job, whatever it is, friends, family, you know, because you went against their well wishes and married so-and-so, whatever. But, you know, give them that information and say, look, it cost me a whole lot. Whatever I went through, messing up your credit early and took you 15 years to get it back on track or something like that, I need to let you know this before you find yourself into it, because that's how much you love them.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want them to go through that madness that you might have had to go through, whether it's relationship, finances, you know, whatever, health. Make them eat them vegetables.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what it comes down to is, you know, essentially you got to say something. I mean, just open your mouth and say something. You can't assume that they know or they'll figure it out. Life will bring it along to them, and they'll be able to understand the steps to take to get over that hurdle. You got to open your mouth, and you got to say something. And a lot of times it's not saying what they want to hear, but saying what they need to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the word. Statement of the night, you know, is to
that's
say
the
something,
of the night.
You know.
Say something.
Say something. I mean, you can just leave it there. Say something. Don't just say, all right, God bless y'all, good luck. You know, have fun.
Good luck, don't forget to write.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't move back home. If it don't work out, you can't move back home, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, open mic. We got 10 more minutes. Anybody want to talk about anything that's got nothing to do with what we've been talking about for the last hour and 50 minutes? Open mic. No open mic.
Yeah. Now that you want to hear my work stress.
Huh?
Your work stress?
My work.
I got something. I got something. I'll throw it out to you, gentlemen.
Oh,
all right.
So here's the scenario. So my, like I said, my father and my relationship is kind of touch and go. You know, it is what it is. It's positive, though. You know, I'm not expecting anything from it. I just love him. He's my dad. That's pretty much it.
Sure.
We got into it. He didn't come to my wedding when I got married. He wasn't there. But we're about to get my daughter baptized. Do I extend this man an invitation, or do I just let it ride?
Extend him an invitation.
Why?
Absolutely. Because that's his granddaughter. And one thing about it is that he cannot come, and there'll be other events, you know, that'll come. I think you continue to invite him, because that's on him if he didn't show up for the wedding, if he doesn't show up for the baptism, you know. That puts the ball in his court.
What point is it on me to stop disappointing myself if I know the potential outcome?
Well, I mean, I would say that, I mean, if he didn't come to your wedding, you probably can expect for him not to come to the baptism. I may be wrong.
Then why even extend them an invitation?
Because that's the right
thing. If I know where it's going to go.
That's the right thing to do. It's only a stamp, you know, a phone call, or, you know, say, hey, I mean, that's just the right thing to do because, again, that puts it on him. I mean, he makes the decision whether to make the effort to come or to say, you know what, I ain't going to that. I mean, that takes it off of you, whereas if you never invited him, never gave him the opportunity to come and to share and the fellowship and the moment, you know, that's something different. That puts it, you know, that's back on you. But when you extend the olive branch and say, you know, we're doing this, I know you didn't come to the wedding 5 years ago or whenever it was, but we're doing the baptism and you're invited.
But here's the part that I'm debating with, and I think thank you for sharing that with me. But it's like at this stage in my life, in my development and everything, it's just one of these things where at what point am I causing myself self-inflicted harm with this? Because I know where it's going to go, but yet I still got this glimmer of hope like that little boy sitting in the window waiting for him to come pick me up and he never show up. I mean, why would I even do that at this age knowing where it will go? And I get
he may prove you wrong. He may prove you wrong one day.
Yeah,
it may be your daughter's wedding where he finally shows up.
Well, see, I would hope he wouldn't do that because then he and I would have some words. I'd be like, you couldn't come to mine, but you can come all the way to a grandchild. We're going to have a problem. We're going to have a problem, you know. Cause I think I would be at the door and be like, no, you can't come in. Just like you didn't come to mine, you know, your child, not your child, you're not going to come in this grandchild. So, you say extend him an invitation.
Absolutely.
Let's put it this way. Jesus knew who was going to kill him, right? But didn't he wash his feet anyway?
See, I can only aspire to be Christ-like. I can't be that.
That's a little deep, Patrice.
I don't see the relevance
there
for that. That's a little deep right there, man.
Oh, man. You're going to send the invitation even that you know he's not going to come. That's all it means. That I know you're not going to come. I know you're going to let me down. However, I'm going to send you I'm going to take care of you anyway.
Yeah. And I think that's the expectation.
The expectation is there's going to be a time when his conscience is going to hurt himself.
Exactly.
When he's going to be like, and I think that goes back to what Rodney was saying, is that he's going to surprise you one day. It may not be this one. It may be another thing, but he's going to be surprised one day. Somebody's going to come to him and show him that he is messed up and that he needs to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't extend that invitation, then you have that conscience built up like you have now, that says, well, I know he's not going to come. I'm already mad at him. It's something that happened in the past, whatever. But that's still on my heart. So why should I still hold that burden against him? You know?
Well, you know what's crazy about this is the fact that I'm not even mad at him anymore about this. So, I mean, yeah, if we were to talk about it, I'd probably get some emotion coming out of me. But I'm not upset. What I would be, though, and this is where I've been going back and forth around with and around with and around with myself, is if I put myself out there yet again and knowing that the outcome is there, it's kind of like you know the stove is hot. So why are you putting your hand on the stove to get burned yet again? Just to say, well, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing and, you know, check the stove and make sure that it's not hot to burn anybody else, you know, even though I'm going to get my hand burned. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It just does not make sense. And I'm trying to figure it out because, I asked my mother. I was like, you know, Mom, hey, help me out on this one. And she put it back on me. And she was like, you know, son, you know, I can tell you what my thoughts are, but she's like, I really think you need to think about this one and come from your heart on a decision for this. She was like, yeah, and that's really where I think you need to go with it. You know, and another reason why I'm throwing it out to you all tonight is because, you know, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, you know, my father, you know, he's never even really interacted with my wife. When he calls to talk to me, you know, he doesn't ever say anything about my wife. He knows the times that she's not, well, he knows my schedule, and then he knows a little bit about her schedule and things, because, you know, I've shared stuff with him. So when he calls the house, he knows she's not there. Like, he's never talked to her on the phone. So it's like, for him to come to this baptism of his grandchild, he's never met my wife's family. So it's going to be awkward. That's the first thing. It's going to be really, really awkward. The second thing is, well, even more so than the second thing, I'm going to say they're probably going to implant this veil, is the fact that it's like, I'm putting myself out there yet again. For what? Just to
offer give him the opportunity to redeem himself.
See, it's not even about redeeming, because he can't redeem himself. It's not about that. What it is just, I feel like, you know, okay, it'd be great for me to have a grand showing, you know, and I want my daughter right now to be able to look back at some photos or what. I don't even know. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, fellas. I'm really lost on this one, because I'm having more personal feelings about it, and I just don't want to be disappointed, because, you know, I can sit here and say that, yeah, when he doesn't show up, when he didn't come to the wedding, when he didn't come to this, when he didn't come to that, yeah, you know, it kind of affected me. No, the fact is it really affected me.
Yeah.
It's always affected me. And it's never not going to affect me.
There's two things that I have to say about that. First thing I want to say is put a limit on it. You know what I mean? Like, say, okay, well, I'll try him this time. He's already disappointed you, so you already know that feeling. Say, okay, well, yeah, I may or may not invite him this time, but, you know, I'll give it another shot. I may give him two more shots. Okay, my biggest issue with me is disappointing my kids. You know what I mean? If you can disappoint me, because, you know, I've been disappointed before, and I'm going to get disappointed again. But don't tell my kids you're going to do something and then be a no-show. That's a problem. Your child right now might not be old enough to realize what's going on, but when that point happens, then you have to protect them from that. Because they may be looking for granddad, and granddad don't show up because that's the track record. You see what I'm saying? So if it gets to that point, then you have to make that decision and be like, well, he ain't coming. He ain't invited. He ain't coming, so there's no disappointment for my kid.
Right.
Has he ever met your daughter?
Skype.
Other than Skype? Not in person?
Not in person, Skype.
Wow.
I mean, but that's just...
and let me say this too, brothers, that I'm not coming from the place that you are as far as, you know, I recall you saying, you know, waiting in the window, and he was supposed to show up on many, many, many occasions over your childhood and over your lifetime or whatever, so... I know it's a deeper spot for you, but, I mean, I just always say, you know, ideally, you would want him to be there. If he could be there, you would want him to be there, correct?
If he could be there, I want him to be there, but, you know, yes, I would. That's the quick and short, fast answer with it. But then the other thing, too, is, like, so much stuff be running through my head, like, you can show up for this. Why couldn't you come to the other stuff? You know what I mean? Like, and I know that I should just be happy for that moment and just be
right.
Like, okay, well, you're here for this one time out of 1,000,000,000 times, but I should just be happy that you gave me this breadcrumb. But it's like, I mean, you know, it just doesn't add up to me. And for me, fellas,
wow.
I think, you know, I've got to work on me, and I'm always working on trying to mature and grow up. But it's like, man, I'm telling you, I'm not the one. I'm one of these angry cats that, you know, in a situation can sit there and just keep pressing and thinking in my mind, and you show up at this, and before I know it, I'm laying hands on you in the church, because that's where I'm at with it. You know, at my daughter's baptism, because I would just be like, wow, you know,
right.
You're just going to pop up. I mean, magically now, wow, you graced us with your presence. You know, and I'm just trying to decide, do I really want that? Because I don't know if that's going to really be a positive situation, even though it is a positive situation. The reasons that we're all gathering would be for the right reasons.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if I'm, and I guess the reason also why I'm asking is because you all have heard me on this call, and you know how I get. I think, you know, I would like to say that I probably bring some color to these calls.
cultural commentary and some cultural ways of putting things. And I just don't know if I may be where I should be to maybe even extend this and this opportunity, considering of the things that he has not been there for. And I just don't want it to be a type of thing that, because here's another thing too, you know, I'm going to be sitting there, and it's real easy, just like I pop off on this phone call, it's real easy to read me. I've always been wanting to wear mine right on my sleeve, and you're going to see it. And I'm in front of my in-laws and all these people that know, you know, they know Peyton as the, you know, the son-in-law is comical, and he might go off and venture off. But they don't know Peyton, you know, Black Peyton. I mean, that's the best way to put it. I can say another word, but they don't know that word. They don't know Black Peyton.
Oh,
you know? So I'm trying to figure out, you know, do I throw this man this invitation, or do I just say, you know what, let's just go ahead and ride this one out and we just go solo.
So you're hoping, you got two different scenarios, sound like. Sounds like that you could write the invitation, send him the invitation or send him the invite or whatever you're going to do, and hope he doesn't show up because of the, you know, how uncomfortable, and it'll just spoil the moment, you know, for him to just pop up almost out of nowhere in your life, you know, other than phone calls and Skype and all that good stuff. Or on the flip side, you send him an invitation, and he shows up and, quote-unquote, redeems himself, doesn't act up, just is like, hey, you know, sorry, I missed the wedding, you know. Here's a wedding gift from how many years? I mean, he could really, you know, go above and beyond to try to, you know, get your forgiveness and your wife's forgiveness and all that good stuff. So, it's two different scenarios, you know, but I think that, again, it all boils down to you can send him the invitation or the invite, and it falls in his lap whether what he decides to do with it. Like Patrice said, that's on his conscience. He's not going to his son's wedding, not going to his granddaughter's baptism, not going to granddaughter's high school graduation, not going to granddaughter's college graduation, not going to granddaughter's wedding, and I got all these invitations piled up in my house or whatever. I mean, that's on him. That's on him. But, I mean, on the flip side, like Tony said, you know, you got to be careful with the kids, you know, to say, oh, you sent granddad an invite. I wouldn't even tell the kids, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even tell them. I'd just be, you know, just kind of just put it in the mail, and if he comes, he comes. If he don't, he don't. But that way the kids don't expect something that's probably not a sure shot. That's just my thing. So. But I say send him an invite. Rodney says send him an invite every time. High school graduate, I don't care if he never show up. Keep sending him in. Put him on the Christmas card list, everything. Keep sending it.
Right.
Because that's
all. Y'all don't think that in a situation like this, since I'm not telling them because I don't want them to get disappointed, but I'm losing something every time. Because it's doing something to me. If I try to sit here and say it's not doing something to me when he doesn't show up, then I'd be lying to y'all.
Yeah.
And for me, to keep sending it out there knowing where it's going, then I'm an idiot. It'd be like, you know, I'm in the ocean and I'm drowning and God is sending by, you know, pieces of wood for me to float on, but I say, no, I'm waiting for the barge to come get me. And then I drown and get to heaven and say, Jesus, why didn't you save me? Well, I sent you pieces of wood to float on.
Let me ask you this, though.
You was looking for the barge.
What would it do for you if one time he did just show up?
Say that. That's what I was about to say.
You know, if he did show up, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'd probably be real emotional because I would just be happy. I'd be happy. I'm not gonna lie to you. I would be happy that he was there. But then I'd probably have to give him that hug and embracing the step back and be like, "Where the fill in the blank with every word you want to? Where have you been, man?"
It's like, glad to see you, but where the F you been?
Yeah, I mean, because just as hard or as easy as it was for you to make that step to get here now, why didn't you do it? I mean, you know, come and watch me play Little League basketball, or come watch me graduate or something. I mean, just basic stuff. Or, hey, you said you was coming on Saturday to get me at 10 a.m. You never showed. I mean,
would you do that right then and there, or would you at least enjoy the moment
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, fellas, I've never been one to let things go, and that's probably going to come back to bite me in everything with my wife, my kids, or whatever. It's like if stuff is building up on me, and I feel like you wronged me, and I feel like you've done this, you know, we're gonna be good for a second, but somewhere in there I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna bring it up. Because I just can't believe, and I feel like if you create this scenario, then I have every right to ask you a question. That's it. I'm just going to ask you a question. I want you to respond. Now, if you get crazy with your response, you best believe I'm going to get crazy right back at you.
Okay.
But it's like, I
get crazy.
I hear what y'all are saying. I'm not trying to keep y'all on the phone all night. Even though I'm on y'all's time zone now, I'm in Florida at a conference, so I'm down here on this East Coast time.
Be careful with them conferences, brother. We talked about that.
Yeah, but hey, I'll see about this call and not dial at the bar. The phone was vibrating all night. Where you at? You coming up? No, I'm on a call right now. I'm on a call. Yeah.
Especially them conferences in Florida.
Yeah.
Something happens to you at New Year's Eve or New Year's Day?
Yeah, when he called grandma or the aunts or something and got the trifecta. I remember
that.
That was Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah, it was Thanksgiving. I called him and I, you know, wished him a happy holiday, and it was positive. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. It was positive. But it's like at this point.
So don't you see God working with you right now?
Yeah.
Is he pulling you through steps? You first time in a long time you talked to your grandma was at Christmas? Now you want your father to come to some of his granddaughter's events? If you see how he's working on you?
Yeah, but one was a call and one is showing up. They're two different things.
That's about sending the invitation. I mean, your part is sending the invitation.
If it's on your conscience to put that stamp on there, he's working on it.
Exactly. That's your part, is to actually send the invitation or to not send the invitation to him.
It's like Colin always says, just show up.
Yep.
That's Colin, you know, just show up and see what happens.
And take it even further, he should be the first invitation you send. Every time. Like, make sure that one goes out.
I think he's working on you. I think, you know, he may not show up to this one, but I got a positive feeling.
He's going to show up to one of them. He's going to have to. When them invitations start stacking up, birthdays, all that stuff. Come on, man. As a father, that stuff is going to...
You send an invite with a picture of that little baby, that cute baby girl, and it's going to start hitting him.
Yep.
But here's another part to it, fellas. I don't even know if I'm ready for him to show up, to be honest with you, because... Like I said, I'm going to be like, okay, I would be happy that he's there for my daughter and all that good stuff. But I'm going to be like, man, you can do this for a grandchild, but you couldn't do it for your own child.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about tonight. This whole conversation was for you tonight. It was a reason why you were on this phone call tonight. Notice that, don't you? Because the whole conversation was not just about marriage. It's about just the father talking to the son about something.
Mm. Yeah.
Finding advice. That's the bigger picture. And see, you that was left out in your upbringing. I think if I'm taking how your emotion is, and maybe just like Tom said, it's that when are we gonna break that cycle? Is it up to us to go to them and start the conversation instead of waiting for them to come to us?
And I know it helps us, you know, when we sort of, you know, instead of looking back and just recalling, you know, all those times we were sitting in the window or the wedding day and you're looking for him, like maybe he's here, maybe he's sitting in the back. No, this cat ain't here. You know, I think just leaving all that in the past, which it is in, it really helps us to move forward and just enjoying that day when he does pop up, whether it's at the baptism or whether it's at, you know, some birthday party or some other event, you know, where he gets to, you know, spend time with granddaughter. I mean, that's the whole moment that you're looking for, is to, and to just enjoy that moment and just to, you know, just start fresh. And it's easier said than done. You know, again, a lot of us are not coming from that place where we're, you know, been just a string of disappointments, you know, with the father-son relationship or whatever. So, but again, you know, you gotta be the bigger person. Somebody's got to be the bigger person. And, you know, it's easier not to send him the invite. That's the easy thing to do. Because you're like, oh, I know he ain't going to show up. You know, what am I wasting a stamp in an envelope and my time and getting my emotions all up? You know, but it's going to come a time where y'all going to have to, you know, really come to grips with this thing, you know, with the past. So, I mean, yeah.
You know what I would tell I'm sure we'll probably talk about it at some point. I need to learn, and I need some help in being able to really shed anger.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I mean, I know y'all hear it on this call, man. And I'm 2 seconds a lot of the times put myself in a bad situation. And I'm with everything, marriage, relationship with parents, mom, friends. I'm 2 seconds because everything is personal. Everything. Mm-hmm. There is no way for me to not take it personally. And in this situation, the reason why I'm posing is because this can't get any more personal than this. You know, specifically when you're talking about something that is, you know, talking about grandkids and your own child and a lack of following through or not being there and all this stuff, I am 2 seconds every time I think about just about anything really making it a bad situation. And I need help. y'all want to talk about something this time. I'm telling y'all, if y'all can send anything my way, I need help with that. Because I'm telling you, this anger inside of me is just mounting. I mean,
yeah.
I have my good times, but I'm telling you, there's more bad times than good. And, you know, the good times feel great, you know, but it's just like a rain on a humid day. You know, it feels good for a second, but then after it stops raining, you just soaked and you humid and you wet and you uncomfortable. And that's where I am a lot of the times. And with this one, I think about where this could potentially go or not go.
How did you become 2 seconds as opposed to snapping right now?
In this right now, this instance?
No, I'm just saying, you're saying for the most part, you're always 2 seconds.
Well,
so
I think,
have you ever
know
been?
I look at it from the standpoint now as I got too much to lose. And I'm thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking about the career and the things that I've built for who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all these things are mounting up. And then I'm also thinking about all the people that invested in me.
Right.
Those are the things that I hear. But at the same time, it's like I sit there and personally I was feeling this. And it's like I honestly feel like there are times I have to like take a knee because this is weighing on me to the point that I need to just take a knee. I need to get my breathing together.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I'm just about to erupt.
So it sounds like you have the answer. You just needed really to expound on it, or maybe even for you to see it. Basically, what I just heard you say was, you take the time, you step back, because you could have erupted a long time ago, been in prison, whatever the case is, in the hospital, or whatever the case is, just because of maybe losing it. But the reason why you don't is because you take the time before that happens to step back and count the blessings that are in your life. And if you continue to do that, if you look at all of the blessings in your life, 2 seconds become 4 seconds.
Mm.
And 4 seconds become 6 seconds. And you know where I'm going from there. That, you know, then after it's all said and done, you look back and you say, wow, I remember when I was 2 seconds away from snapping. Now, some of this stuff that used to bother me don't even faze me anymore. But that's how you get there. It's got to be a discipline. It's not something that's, okay, well, I accepted Christ. I'm in church. I listen to Pastor so-and-so. I'm straight. Ain't nothing bothering me no more. No, that's crazy. That doesn't really happen in anyone's life. And I know some people will say that, or even my own TV on radio or whatever. I don't pay that any mind because I know over these last however many years now that I've been striving to do the right thing, there's still some things in me that's just not right. And the truth of the matter is it'll never be right. I got to continue to grow, allow on the inside of me. I got to allow Christ to grow on the inside of me. And when you're sitting there counting your blessings, you're really acknowledging God, and he's growing on the inside of you. And that takes that 2 seconds to 4 seconds and so forth and so on. And before you know it, those things that are troubling you now, they won't trouble you anymore.
Yeah, and I'll say that, you know, everything, you know, on these calls that we talk about is rooted in your childhood. And that's with everybody on this phone. All of our life experience, it shapes us. You know, so that anger that you talk about, it is shaped from your father's disappointments, your father not growing up with you. You keep in school, you know, can't forgive. All of that is rooted in your childhood. So the whole thing is that once you acknowledge it and identify the source of your anger, you have to deal with that in order to for everything else to fall into place. But the source and the root of your anger is your father disappointing you because you said many, many times that you sat in that window, Pops was supposed to come through, you had the divorce that happened 2 weeks, literally to the day that you were born. I mean, that's a grand disappointment right there. 2 weeks later and you're going to walk out on me? I mean, the whole thing is that you've been disappointed all your life by your father. And that's why all this other stuff is like you say, you're two seconds away from popping off on somebody. But you gotta work on that. You gotta deal with that. And I think by embracing quote unquote confrontation, you know, with your father by hoping that he'll show up to these events or whatever, and that, you know, rather than running away from him by not inviting him or not including him, you know, in the familiar events or situations or whatever that are opportunities for him to get involved. I think that helps you. Because, I mean, it's easy just to cut him off and just move on. You got your family, your daughter and your wife's family. You got mom, you got mama's family. So you could easily move on. But, I mean, you got to take the hard road because you have to, once you tapped into, you know, where's my anger coming from, you gotta work on that piece. And it's not gonna happen overnight. It's not gonna happen next week. But I think you're taking the right steps, you know.
Right.
But just by being on here every week, you know, you're taking the right steps. You get something, you guarantee to get something out of what we talk about every week. And I go back to, we've given you the tools. It's time for you to embrace it, to grab hold on it and move on with it. But we've given you the tools that you need to deal with this thing.
Let me ask this question. This is a different road with this. What if I like the anger? What if I enjoy the anger and I enjoy the thoughts of carrying it out and in some situations carrying it out? Because sometimes it's not physical stuff, it's verbal. I mean, is there something wrong with me? Because I'm gonna tell you, though, there's times that I can definitively say, you know what? I know where this anger's gonna get me. I know if I say this to my wife, where it's gonna go, where it's gonna be. But screw it, I'm rolling with it.
But you don't enjoy it.
That's what I'm saying.
I just don't believe that. Go ahead, Rod.
That's why I said yes, because there's something mentally wrong with you if you enjoy pain and suffering. No one enjoys, Christ didn't enjoy pain and suffering. We don't enjoy pain and suffering. I don't care how spiritual you become or not being spiritual you are. You're not going to enjoy pain and suffering. No one does. That's crazy. That's mentally crazy. And so, and I know you don't enjoy it because that's why the things are being brought up on this call, because you really don't want to feel the way that you're feeling. And no one really does, and I can understand your passion to not want to be that way. And so you're looking for an answer or something that's going to pull you away from that type of hurt and pain and the trauma that was probably in your life. And so I know you don't want to do it. It might feel good to release it, but there are many other ways of releasing it as opposed to snapping off on your wife or your kids or your job or whatever the case is. And like you said, you're counting those blessings and you're seeing that there's so much to be thankful for in your life, and it doesn't allow you to snap off. And the more you increase, and I don't know if you are in Christ or not, but the more you increase in seeing what your blessings are, and the less you start looking at the drama and challenges in your life, I think, like I said, the more that those seconds will increase. You don't enjoy it no more than the next person enjoys the pain. And there is a way out of the way that you're feeling, but you got to be willing to, like Rodney was saying, willing to embrace it. And the stuff that we're saying on the phone, the stuff that you're hearing from other good resources of getting out of that pain and getting away from that stuff, you don't enjoy it. You know what you really enjoy, and you want to get there, but you can go to the gym. I don't know if you do golf or well, I don't know. For some people, that's not really a stress reliever, is it, T?
No. No, definitely not.
maybe the range would be a little better. You smack the batting cage. Let me try that. But yeah, you know, there's other outlets that you can release that type of that anger. I'm saying anxiety, but that anger.
But I'll say this too, Peyton, that it's what you're used to. You know, and you could probably look back and still remember, you know, all the time, you know, where your father disappointed you. And you probably got all that in your head. So when you see him or when you have a conversation, it'll come out and you get him.
But you know what? It's crazy. It's like, it's not even just all the times that he disappointed me. It's anybody.
But it started with him. It started with his disappointment. 2 weeks, he walked out on you. That's a disappointment. It started with him. Once you get that cleared up with him, that's when everything else will fall into place. But it's your disappointment started with your father. That's what I'm telling you. And once you identify and acknowledge that, 2 weeks, he said you've seen it, the record, divorce record, by divorce, 2 weeks after you're born, after your birthday.
I think that may be the root of a lot of it. Because I know I had the same issue. Mine, you know, with my mom and my dad taking me, you know, to New York at 3, and then my mom having kids after me, and then she went on with her life, and I could never get past it. And I was angry for a lot of years. I didn't know why. You know, I'd have to go see therapists to deal with anger, and none of it worked because they couldn't figure out what the situation was. So I know exactly where he's coming from. You know what I mean? But at a certain point that I couldn't get well until I made amends with her. You know what I'm saying? And I know that you made amends with your dad, but I know that there's still some deep-rooted stuff. And something else that I know is that I don't know where this topic came from, to be totally honest with you. I don't really have that many disappointments with my dad because okay, so what? He didn't talk to me about marriage. I mean, it is what it is, but I'm not really disappointed. I wish that he would have. You know what I mean? But I'm not mad about it. You know what I'm saying? So this topic didn't really pertain to me as much, but I knew that we had to talk about this topic. So I didn't know where it came from when Rodney said, you got a topic, because I didn't. And then I talked to him the next day, and I said, here's the topic. You know what I mean? So maybe this topic was meant for you.
Yeah.
Because I have no logical explanation of where it came from.
I don't know where that topic came from either.
But I'll tell you what. When I had all my animosity against my father, and I had it all the way up to where he got remarried, and I thought that was the final straw, I was going to be married. That he got remarried, didn't even tell me, just called me, oh yeah, I just got married. What you mean you just got married? Where? And out here in Florida, who's the best man? Oh, first you don't ask me to afterwards, and then you don't even ask your own son when I asked you at my wedding. And I'm a grown man. I'm in my 30s, and I'm pissed, you know. But you know what? And this is when I knew my life was changing, when I got them knees ashy. Now, I didn't forgive him personally face-to-face, but I gave my father, on my knees, I gave him forgiveness and told him I forgive him. And I told that to the Lord. And after that, things started changing. You know, my dad called me 4 times today asking about the snow. My dad has never called me 4 times in a day.
Mm.
You know, every time a fight's on, he's here. You know, Christmas time, he's the first one here helping me out cooking. You know, there was a change once I forgave. It was a relief.
I don't know how to do that.
And Peyton, well, have you done that? Have you mouthed those words to your mom?
I'm gonna be honest. I don't know how to forget.
I still have not mouthed those words to my father. I never had to. That's the whole thing. I never had to go and look him in the eye and say, "Dad, I forget you." To this day, has never come out of my mouth. But I did say that to God, and ever since then, there's been a change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying going to your father and telling him to forgive him, but I'm telling you to get your knees asked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take a while on your prayer. But what you'll find out is that anger, you releasing that anger to God, just like you're venting to God, and asking, you know, that say, "Hey, I forgive this guy for doing this to me." And I'm telling you, it works. You will see a change.
Can I do something like that if I don't really believe in it? I can't drop down and ask for his assistance in helping me forgive somebody when I don't know if I'm really there with that. It's going to be real.
Mm-mm,
fake.
Mm-mm. You're not asking for that. You're not asking for anything. You just get down and say, "Dad, I mean, you know, Father, I forgive my dad." And that's it.
Don't ask for any help. But that's what I'm saying. I don't necessarily know if that's the case.
Okay.
Or anybody
okay.
that's wronged me. So I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I can drop down and even say that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, we...
But that's that thing that's controlling me, though.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm not debating that or not agreeing with you that that probably is what's controlling me, but I'm just not at that point.
Are you a believer? In Christ, that is.
One of the topics that I wanted to, I'm skating the question. Yes, mm-hmm. but I definitely have my doubts. You know, I've been the one at different points on this call to point out that sounds crazy. Like, let's just be honest, that sounds
mm-hmm.
a little crazy.
Oh, we all with it.
Yeah. You know, and it's like so. I'm still going back and forth. I mean, I recognize that. You know, I don't know. I am a believer, but I have my doubts. I mean, all I can do is just kind of like chuckle at it and be like, yeah.
And I have to ask this only because I really can't go no further in talking about it if, in fact, you know, you're a Buddhist or an Islamic extremist or something like that. Then I'm way without, you know, like when Christ talked to the woman at the well, he talked about water before he got to him because he knew she wasn't going to get down with it unless he could deal with where she's at. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, where you're at before I don't need to be quoting scriptures and stuff like that if, in fact, you don't believe in that in the first place. But so if you are a believer in Christ, now I'm hearing what you're saying in terms of you got your doubts, but is those doubts really wrapped up in other believers? And what they're saying and how they're feeling and what they're saying they can do and they can't do? Or is your doubts truly in him being Christ, the Son of God? Because I know plenty of people who had their doubts and they start to waver or whatever, but it's mainly based on because they see other people faking the funk.
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But now, do you believe that he is the Son of God? Point blank. Had nothing to do with other people or what you've seen him do or not seen him do, just point blank in Jesus Christ being the Son of God, because I'm hearing you saying you're a believer.
Yeah, I believe in that.
You believe in that.
I do believe in that.
Okay, so I mean, I can understand your reserve of not knowing a lot of different things. None of us can claim to know. Oh, I hear a whole lot of people talk about heaven and stuff, and yes, it does talk certain things in Revelations about what heaven looks like, but you're not going to know it until you get there, period. You only can say but so much about heaven. And you can hear a whole lot of people say a whole lot of different things. So here's the bottom line, that when Christ was teaching his disciples how to pray, he told them this very important thing, and I know a lot of us, we read it, we quote it, we say it, recite it, what have you, and maybe we don't necessarily grab everything out of it, but he says, this is what you should say. This is how you should pray. Father, forgive me my debts. Forgive me my transgressions. Forgive me my issues as I forgive others who trespassed against me. Basically what that's saying is, he said, this is how you should pray. He said, what this is saying in layman's terms is, if, Father, I don't forgive others, I don't want you to forgive me.
Then I'm screwed. I'm going to be honest with you, fellas. I'm screwed because there's so many people that are on this list, and I could just run it down. I mean, I've got it.
It's but
like
here,
when I see people, the first thing usually that comes, I'm sitting there, I'm listening, but you better believe while I'm sitting there, I'm smiling, but ain't nothing funny because I'm remembering all the times that things have gone awry, and I have not forgiven and turned the page, and I'm trying to figure out how I can cleanse myself of that.
Okay, but not my. But hear this. Hear this. Good. That forgive me as I forgive others. So all these blessings and stuff that you counting up, you got to remember that they were given to you by God. So when you say forgive me, then you want to hold on to the grace, to the mercy that he's shown you through your years. The stuff that you're saying that's keeping you from 2 seconds of going crazy is the same stuff that he's saying, well, I'm forgiving you of other things that you've done so that you can retain these blessings that you're counting up that's keeping you 2 seconds from going crazy. So he's saying, if you forgive, if I'm able to forgive other people, then I know God's not only going to allow me the grace and the mercy to keep everything that I've got going on, the blessings in my life, but he's going to add to them. He's going to continue to add to them. So now you got to, I guess you have to really take inventory of the things that you continue to look at that keeps you from going crazy and say, how important are these things to me? I understand your dad. I understand somebody else who did you wrong, talked behind your back, other friends, females or whatever the case over the years have done you wrong. You got a big list and everything, but forget all of them for a second. Are these things over here, your children, your current wife, or, you know, if you're married now, that job that you're talking about, your career, or things that you got, are these things important? I understand they're not important enough to you right now, but are these things important enough to get it right? If these things are important enough, if my children are important enough for me to send my dad an invite, even though I don't necessarily care for the man personally, but I care enough about my kids to where I'm going to send the invite. I care enough about my kids. Now, that's just, you know, that would just be one strategy. You know, you send the invite, and then, you know, that gets the wheels turning. Maybe he doesn't respond. Maybe he does, whatever the case is. Maybe y'all do finally see each other. Maybe you do have some negative words, but something good comes out of it, and you build off of that or what have you. But are the kids or is, you know, all the other things that you listed, are these things important enough that I want to hold on to do what I need to do? Forget the crazy folks. Because I got plenty of them in my life, too, that I would like to just write off, but I got to go there.
I got three tonight. I'm ready. I've got to get on my knees for right when I get off this phone.
But I'm thinking, I'm not going to let that fool mess up my blessing. I'm not talking about your dad. I'm just talking about I got somebody in my mind right now. But I'm not going to let him mess up my blessing. So
but I think you made a good point about the kids.
Sure
that, you know, that just because you have an art with your father doesn't mean that your daughter should.
Hey, I'm going to stop the recording. Y'all just keep on talking.